You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This system makes of us slaves, without dignity, without debt, no? With a devil in our pocket, this incredible money, this shit, this nothing, this paper who have nothing inside. Movies have heart, boom, 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 have mind, have power, have ambition. I wanted to do something like that. Why not?
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you.
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, welcome to episode 146 of Cinema Crespediso. Thank you so much for downloading. We appreciate it. Here's one for you listening at home. Thank you so much. You are the best. Remember to go to chriscrespo.com. Newly redesigned. It's pretty sweet. And it's my website. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Drewson Cogburn couldn't be here this weekend. Had something, had to pull him away. He should be back next weekend, we hope. But we have someone sitting in for him, a guest co-host. It's been a while since we had a guest co-host. He's been on pretty recently, as a matter of fact. I think only 4 weeks ago, maybe.
Something like that.
You were in the guest chair, now you're in the co-host chair. What, blah, blah, blah. Start that over. You're in the co-host chair, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Etchie is here. How's it going, Etchie? Thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, man. This is... I'm in Drew's chair.
You're in Drew's chair. You're wearing his headphones.
It's the same but different.
Yes, exactly. It's like I'm looking straight ahead, but you're not Drew.
No.
You're Etchie.
Yeah.
You just sit over there.
I just made things better looking.
But now you're... shots fired. Drew doesn't listen to the show, so... he'll never hear that.
I don't listen to my... listen to my show either.
Well, Drew doesn't listen to any podcast at all, so... The fact that he's on one is hysterical. But we do have a guest, a first-time guest. We're excited to have her on. And she's a writer. You can see. She writes for many places.
That is true.
But it's all aggregated on one website to make it one-stop shopping. It's perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Drew Thompson is here.
Hey.
How you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you
on. This is totally making me rethink my philosophies on meeting strangers on the internet
No.
and then accepting invitations to their house.
Exactly.
Reluctancy is good.
There's a little feeling out process there, a couple of direct messages, make sure maybe a little bit of Instagram spying. Like, this guy doesn't seem like a creep, a total creep. I guess we got the last test, the face-to-face. No, we're good people, and you seem very nice.
Actually,
you brought us donuts.
I did.
From the Donut King.
I did.
Thank you so much.
There's bacon on some of them.
Oh, my goodness.
I was going to say, I've heard they're like the best.
Oh, you got to have them.
But I haven't tried it.
The show.
We're going to have to pick out after the show, because if I have some during the show, my fingers are going to be all sticky. I'm touching the mics and stuff.
I'm super excited to be here.
Ah, well, thank you so much for coming on. This is great. And the website, we'll do plugs later, but real quick, the website that people can go to?
Oh, for me, is amydrewthompson.com. It's just sort of in, like you said, an aggregation of some of my clips, mm-hmm. because I am a freelancer. And
yes.
I write for many, many outlets.
Many outlets, covering many topics.
True.
So thank you so much.
Pleasure is mine.
People go check out the website and then read some articles. Learn some stuff. Right?
Yes.
That's what the internet's for.
Exactly.
So here we go. We're going to jump right into the show. We have a good amount to talk about. A lot of movies to talk about in the first half. But before we talk about the movies, we got to do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. And I have the theme song right here. So here we go. Don't be startled.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
All right, here we go. Crespediso Randomizer 9000. Amy, go ahead and reach in there and pick one.
I should look this up.
Is it an actual movie? Well, you have to be signed in. This one's got to be on there. That's got to be on there. Actually, are you signed in? Yeah, you're on Netflix, right? Because Drew doesn't have one.
Yeah, I do have my own Netflix. I was IMDb.
You already got in there? Oh, IMDb? Oh,
I mean, either way.
You got to look it up on Netflix to make sure. Because you know how they put movies up?
Oh, they take them out,
and then
yeah.
They take them down because they're a bunch of jerks and they don't want people to
Well, you're closer than I am at this time. Point, then.
I'm pulling it up. But people can check out past Netflix Picks of the Week at chriscrespo.com. One of the more recent ones is a movie I've been a little obsessed with lately. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is still on there. Go ahead and bring that up again. Writing an article on it. I watch the movie like twice in a week.
Nice.
Rereading the book. Oh my goodness.
That's Gary Oldman, right?
Yes.
Love him. Haven't seen that movie though.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Now I gotta see it.
Like the first time you watch it, it's a little like, whoa, what's going on? But if you pay attention, give it your attention as you watch it, it reveals itself to you, and it's a crazy, crazy little movie. It's like the anti-Bond. The way it unfolds, it's very cool. But we're good here. It's Sophie on Netflix, so go ahead and announce to people what this week's pick of the week is.
Existence.
Cronenberg.
How come I didn't put this together? This is just creepy that I picked this. This is the one with Jude Law.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie, right?
I love this movie.
Yeah, Jude Law.
Yeah.
Jude Law. And
he works a little bit lately. And what's her name? Jennifer Jason Leigh.
This is a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
And I love me some David Cronenberg.
Yeah, Cronenberg is wild. And it's like, I guess you could call it the end of his body horror, Long Live the New Flesh phase.
And this is a creepy, weird,
it's so weird,
crony kind of movie.
And
Etchy's
looking confused, like, what is Existence?
I hadn't heard of it.
Go ahead and look it up there. See if you recognize that at all, like the cover art. Because the movie is kind of a cult thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Many of his movies are.
Yeah, especially here stateside, because he's a Canadian director, so I'm sure much more popular in Canada. His movies here usually get small releases, and he has his loyal following.
I've never seen the cover.
You've never seen the cover?
No.
His most popular movie might be The Fly.
Maybe The Fly. Maybe. Right? Well, people love Scanners.
Yeah,
that's
they
like
do.
A cult classic.
They
people
do.
Love Videodrome.
People know about the head blowing up.
Yes.
Like, I'm thinking like pop culture, like people who don't even really necessarily know where
the
it's
fly,
from.
Probably.
Because
most mainstream.
The lineup, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, and all that. Yeah, Gina Davis, Jeff Goldblum.
Remake of a classic.
It is a remake of a classic. The original's actually not bad.
I love the original. I watched that not too long ago.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
The end is the best when you reveal the guy's head on the fly body.
Yeah.
So don't help me. I actually saw that spoofed on The Simpsons years before I ever saw The Fly, the original Fly.
Many good spoofs on The Simpsons.
Oh, they got it all.
They're not going to do Existence, though.
No.
and so many that way later, from The Simpsons, it comes across, you go, oh my God, that's what they were making fun of.
Yeah. when you grow up with The Simpsons, yes.
I was just talking to my wife yesterday about how she was saying growing up, she knew, memorized the lyrics to a lot of Weird Al songs before she actually heard the original song he's making fun of.
Yeah, the song was originally called Eat It, and then Michael Jackson wrote a song. He did a spoof of Weird Al's
Eat It. He's a huge Weird Al fan,
Yeah, people didn't know that. Gigantic Weird Al fan. Existence is a movie in which it's about video game culture in a way. Someone's building Jennifer Jason Leigh plays a lady who designed a video game, and you plug into it, and you go into the game, like virtual reality style. But then there's all the tropes of a game. So there's people like AI The people that are walking around are AI, so you have to like ask them a question to get the answer to go to the next part of the game. But and if you're answering the wrong question, then they'll just keep repeating the same thing over and over.
That's
and,
awesome. Yeah,
yeah, it is like playing a real,
like
real
a Final game. Fantasy thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I guess, man, if Drew was here, he would be able to pinpoint the type of video game. I think that's role-playing game, RPG.
RPG, yeah. That's what it is.
Right, mm-hmm. So it's a walking, talking RPG, but you got to plug in with your port.
Physically,
through your back. You get a game port.
So David Cronenberg.
Yeah, you have a game port surgically implanted into your spine.
Interesting.
And then, of course, this is Cronenberg, right? Because obviously, like all of his movies, almost all of his movies have dealt with sex and sexuality.
They beat you over the head.
Yeah,
with it
some of them.
One.
And this one, he found a way to show penetration in a movie without getting you NC-17.
Really?
Because the game port is like a fleshy looking thing. And Jennifer Jason Leigh, at one point, she like puts her up like to wet it and then pops it right into Jude Law's port in his back.
Oh.
Yeah. And the camera's right there. It's very, like, very visceral.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot. And then the game port itself is this fleshy-looking thing that moves. It's like a living thing. Because Cronenberg, for years, has been all about the new flesh and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
everything organic.
Yes.
This has got to be easy top 10 for Cronenberg's creepy body horror.
Yeah, it's up there.
For sure.
It's up there with Videodrome and The Fly for weirdness.
You know,
Dead Ringers.
Everything.
Oh, Dead Ringers. Every,
so creepy.
Good one.
So creepy.
Everything being like an organic being like that, though, that you're talking about. You know who originated that?
Who?
The Flintstones.
Yeah, because the animals are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pelican is the toilet.
Yeah.
And then.
Also
and,
cement mixer, I believe.
It's got the big gullet, right? He can use it for a lot of things. Yeah. Dishwasher. And then he looks at the camera and goes, it's a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was, it also reminds me, that movie where he got sucked into TV. I think it was in the 90s.
With John Ritter?
Yeah.
Remote control?
No, that was the game show.
The game show.
That was the game show.
With Michael O'Malley, I think.
I was gonna say there was that game show too where you went in and like jumped over.
Wasn't that Colin Quinn? Wasn't that MTV Colin Quinn? Was that remote control?
I think he did it for a while. Didn't John Stewart do it for a while too?
Oh, I don't know. I remember this other guy. I remember this other guy.
I think it had multiple guests for remote control. I think you're talking about a John Ritter movie. And I think part of it took place in the backyard. Like they went in out of the satellite dish, I think.
Yeah, something
don't
like
remember.
That.
Something. Yeah. Nah, not a very good movie.
No,
Existence is
it
wild.
Was actually
that
not
is
a
worth
good
it Netflix right there.
Yes, so good.
For sure.
Such a great pick. Thank you, Amy. Good job.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
That was like kismet that I picked Cronenberg.
Yeah, it was.
That was cool.
I love it. Especially around Halloween time. We'll also talk about some of our favorite Halloween movies in the second half of the show. So, dumbing down on Etchy right now for the first time. You have the first half of the show to think about that. Let's get into the box office recap. Etchy, you have the numbers from boxofficemojo.com?
I do.
Okay, would you mind starting us with, I believe it's the number 8 movie we have to start. We're starting our top 5 with number 8.
Yes. Sicario.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't. Can I see?
I'm sorry, Crimson Peak.
Was that 9? The Sicario 9?
Sicario was 10.
How much does Sicario make now that you brought it up? Now I'm interested.
almost, it was $2,950,000.
$2 million? Okay, yeah. Sicario's a good movie.
Basically
people.
3.
People should check that one out. I don't think it's making enough movie for it's not making enough money for how good that movie is. A lot of
probably
M-O
anything
words.
I like makes a lot of money.
That's the way it is though. Yeah, Transformers movies will bank, but
yeah,
that's why we're gonna get 10 more of them. Yep. All right, so what's number? Number eight.
Gonna say actually while we're at it, number 9 was The Intern. Number 8.
Okay, number 8.
Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
Yeah, Crimson Peak came in at number 9 for number eight.
Making how much?
God damn it. Because there's other numbers right next to it.
I know.
Okay, it is 5.5.
5.5 for a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, Crimson Peak's one of those ones not making too much money.
I really wanted to love Crimson Peak.
You wanted to love it.
I went in there, like, we discussed this before.
Uh-huh.
Love Del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
Love Hiddleston.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to love it. I was on board for quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then they just lost me.
What was
luscious. I will say this. Mm. I remember you talking about how beautiful it was.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It
gorgeous
does
movie.
Not disappoint in that way at all. It is a luscious, gorgeous,
but then,
just what you would expect.
Without getting into details, what about it like turned you off? Was it the story, the characters, just the direction they were going
in?
Did you feel mismarketed to?
I did not feel mismarketed. I felt like they gave away too much
mm-hmm.
to the audience too quickly.
In the story, okay.
Was my feeling, and
you
I...
You never felt... You felt like you were ahead of the movie.
I felt like I was definitely... All of us were ahead of the main character.
Yeah. Which is kind of a bummer when that happens.
Yeah.
You want to be in the same place as the main character.
And because of how they set it up, there were a lot of things that I feel like you couldn't buy into. Because mm-hmm. it's supposed to be a romance.
Yeah.
But I feel like they took that away mm-hmm. too soon.
Okay.
It was the ordering of the story. Oh. I was with it. And then there were a couple of things that were just by the end.
That just didn't work for you.
Yeah. And then at the very end, I don't want to. Because you know what's funny uh-huh. that I've noticed because I was preparing for the show is that after I've seen the films, I've gone and read some reviews. What happened to movie reviews, man? They give away everything in movie reviews
they do.
Now.
They do. I can't stand movie. I don't even like calling them critics. Movie reviewers that just recap the plot. And then they'll give you one paragraph. The acting was good. It looked nice.
Yeah.
Well directed. You know, like there's no real critiquing in there, no analysis. Instead of just like A, B, C, D happened. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
And yeah. they gave away in several reviews that I read, even of this week's movie.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you say that? Like, this is a main part of, that's like, you know, a twisty part of the film.
Yeah, why do you feel you gotta ruin it?
Why do you have
people?
To, exactly. Like, can't you review the film without...
I have done that on occasion, but only for movies that I feel are so horrible, people should just be like, either A, it's so bad, don't bother yourself, or yeah. B, it's so bad, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. you can notice ahead of time, it really doesn't matter.
I felt like the actors did a good job. The two leads did a good job. I think that Jessica Chastain... Mm-hmm. I think that it wasn't her fault. I think that character was just two-dimensional.
That's a tough character. Very...
We were just talking about that.
That yeah. character yeah. was flat, and she just walked out and was...
She was very alt, very tight, very, you know...
I felt like you knew her game. Yeah. 90, you knew 90% of her game.
Of what was going on there.
The minute you met her. Yeah. And it was just a question of... Who exactly is she and what are the specifics of that? But yeah. I felt like you knew who she was.
So the movie didn't surprise you and you felt overplayed its hand too early.
Yes.
And then didn't stick through with the romantic stuff enough.
Well, I think because they exposed some things too early on that yeah. you could never really fully invest in that.
Because you know there's something else going on.
Because you knew there was something else going on.
Sure, sure.
Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah, I get it. Getting into details, I totally get it.
Yeah.
If people want more details, Drew and I did do a spoiler episode that we put out last week. So if you've seen the movie already, or if you don't care, you can download that and listen. It's about 3 or 4 minutes. And we get into all the who's what and, you know, what did all the ghosts mean.
Oh, I wish that I could have been in on that one. Yeah, I would love to go off on this movie right now.
That would have been fun because Drew and I both liked it. Drew liked it okay enough. I liked it more. But as I've explained in the past, I am a big Guillermo del Toro fan. And for certain directors like him, David Fincher, even like Steven Spielberg, the Coen brothers, even their worst movies... I will, like, especially at first, I will convince myself that I like the movie. And
so
then
you just
maybe,
haven't been honest with yourself yet? It's too soon?
I think with this one, I am being honest. I did. I do like it quite a bit. But we'll see. We'll see in a year or two if I rewatch the movie and it bores me.
The ghosts were gorgeous.
The effects are amazing.
The effects were amazing. Yeah. Everything, like I said, it was just immersive and beautiful.
Gorgeous, and gorgeous.
Enchanted
gorgeous movie. Yes,
from beginning to end. But visually.
But yeah, you got to be into the story. And I do know the Rotten Tomatoes critic consensus part of it was like people think the movie looks great, but it has kind of a slight story.
Yeah. And toward the I wish that I could have been in on that spoiler because toward the end, there was a couple of places and I saw this in the afternoon and there were quite a few people there.
Yeah.
And something happened and I just went. And like at least 4 people around me started cracking up. So I knew that I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, so I was disappointed. I think that was the scariest thing about the movie was that
it didn't deliver on what you wanted.
Yeah. Okay. And I love them. I really liked everybody involved. So well, yeah, whatever.
And they all, they all gave it their all.
Yeah.
They didn't like, you know, you can see sometimes in the movie we're like, oh, like Bruce Willis, he's not into this. I mentioned Bruce Willis earlier. He's like, you can tell he's sleepwalking through this one.
No, I think the actors all did the best.
The best they could do with what they had.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Recognize game right there. So that was our number 8.
Yes.
All right. Know about the number 7 movie.
I haven't seen this, but I have some issues with it.
Fantastic.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Okay.
Not seen it.
It just came out wide release this week. It's been in limited release for the last couple weekends. Yeah, like yesterday, I wanted to see both this and a new Vin Diesel, but because of circumstances out of my control, I could only pick one. Mm-hmm. So I went with the one with the obviously better reviews. I went with the Steve Jobs movie. Mm-hmm. So I saw that yesterday. Written by Aaron Sorkin, and it's totally an Aaron Sorkin script. Mm-hmm. People are talking a mile a minute. There's a lot of walking, talking. People are, like, walking backstage and, like, you know, dealing with each other. It's a very West Wing Sports Night newsroom style of a dialogue. And then it's Danny Boyle as a director, a guy who did 28 Days Later and Slumdog Millionaire, 127 Hours, Trainspotting. Very visually bombastic director mm-hmm. who likes trying to do things differently.
Yeah.
And the screenplay is written in a way that it's... I can see why he'd be attracted to it, right? So for people who don't know, the screenplay, it's not... Steve Jobs' whole life. It's not his greatest hits. It's not like the Ashton Kutcher movie. Mm. Instead, it's three specific moments in Steve Jobs' life, and it's 1984, 1988, and 1999.
Interesting.
And it's three separate presentations. It's the first the presentation when they introduced the Macintosh to the world. In 88, it's when he introduced his new company, Next, that he designed, that he came up with after he got fired from Apple.
Yep.
And then in the late 90s, when he revealed the iMac.
99.
And it's these three moments, but it's specifically the 30 minutes leading up to the start of each presentation. So each, all the, and it's in order. So first, you got their first section. He's getting ready to introduce the Macintosh, and he's running around. He's yelling at people. So you got to get this fixed. You got to get that fixed. I need the room to be like this. And then meanwhile, he's, you know, personal relationships with people like Steve Wozniak, who's played by Seth Rogen. Jeff Daniels plays the CEO of Apple at the time, and their personal relationship. And it picks up with these relationships throughout the three different time periods. So instead of going over all of Steve Jobs' life, you get these three moments, but through the narrowness of the three moments, you get to see more universal stuff. And because it covers 15 years of his life, you get to see how the character has changed mm-hmm. over those years without having to hit every single beat and showing you why. Like, you understand why.
Yeah.
So you see how he changes and also how he doesn't change. Yeah. And what made him, the controversy of who he was as a figure, as a public figure, mm-hmm. as an inventor, as a marketer, and all that stuff. I think it's really, really well done. I liked it very much.
I wanted to see it, but then I keep reading these articles, and the worst one I actually read yesterday, which was from people that, like, they were in the movie that he was specifically talking to.
Okay,
like those real people.
Yeah,
were like, that never happened, and it never happened, and like, well, he wasn't like that at all. And they were completely. They had actually made up a lot of it. Like, so a lot of the stuff in the script never even happened.
Well, it's a type of thing where, like, because they are focusing on narrowness, right? But they want to tell a bigger story. I never expect a movie like this to be 100% factual. If I want 100% factual, I'd read... Right. I was going to say I'd read a Wikipedia article, but even then, that's wrong. If I want 100% factual, you know, I'd read interviews and stuff and nonfiction stuff.
Yeah.
This is a movie, and we're going after themes and emotions, and I'm expecting characters to be, squished together into one person. I'm expecting events to be rearranged for the sake of getting to the bigger picture, the bigger truth. So stuff like that doesn't bother me. Also, I did read an article where a bunch of people, and I talked about this on the show before... Mm-hmm. A bunch of people have come out and were like, oh, screw this movie. His Steve Jobs' last wife was like, no, screw this movie.
Actually tried to get it to...
Try to squash it. Yeah, tried to squash it. Got people to actively drop out of it. Like, she... DiCaprio was up for Jobs. She called DiCaprio and was like, don't do this movie. It's because it's all based on a book that she doesn't like.
The book was really good and actually 100% truthful.
Well, it's based on that book. And what's his name? Tim Cook called the movie opportunistic.
Yep.
But again, without seeing it. The only person that I know from reading that has seen it is Steve Wozniak, mm-hmm. and he liked it, and he thought it was like, that was Steve Jobs up there. But also, if you're watching the movie, Wozniak does kind of come across as the more sensible of the two, and Steve
Jobs. It's pretty well known he was. Too.
Yeah, yeah. So I can see, especially with the way those two people are.
I heard that Rogan stole it.
Rogan's
what
great.
People have told me. I've not seen it.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He is fantastic. I kind of wish there was a little bit more of him. That's the thing. Because of the structure of the movie, and we're covering Jobs' relationship with Wozniak, with I think his name was Scully, the SEO, yeah. Apple SEO, SEO is what website needs, CEO. Yeah. His wife, not his wife, his baby mama, and his baby, mm-hmm. whom he for years denied.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much those four. Oh, and also relationship with his work wife, the head of marketing for him that was like keeping him in check, and the Jobs whisperer. Yeah. Of sorts, right? And it's a relationship with all these people. Because of that, you only get bits of it. So Rogan is in the movie for total maybe 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, split up over like 5 to 7 minute scenes.
He must kill it.
He's great.
Because he's like all I've been hearing about.
Well, that's the thing. I think everyone's great in this movie. Jeff Daniels, this is like reliable, excellent self. And it's a very interesting character for me playing.
Who do you play?
He was Scully.
Okay.
The John Scully. Fassbender, sucks. Obviously, is fantastic.
Yeah.
It all around, even the girls. They got three different girls to play his daughters in three different ages. And they were all great. You know, it was very compelling, very well-made stuff. I really enjoyed it.
One of his daughters being named Lisa.
Yes, and that's all big.
Which is where the Apple Lisa comes from.
That's a big deal. Yeah. That's actually a big deal in the movie. It comes up multiple times. The whole thing that the program was Lisa. But at the same time, he was like, this isn't my daughter. You know?
Yeah.
He tells Time Magazine, technically, like, I figured out 28% of men in America could be this girl's daughter based on my weird algorithm, you know?
Yeah.
It was a weird thing. And I can see why people that were close to Steve Jobs would be like, I don't want people to see this movie because it makes him... He's not a saint. He's not an angel. He's a very complicated person. He had a lot of good attributes, but also a lot of bad ones. What a shock, surprise. He was a human.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's the thing. I always like, you know, like I love Apple and everything. And I thought Steve Jobs was awesome. But, mm-hmm. you know, my wife asked me one time, you know, she's like, well, you know, I don't remember. But she'd like painted this scenario of like awesomeness. You know, she's like, well, what if you worked with Steve Jobs? And I'm like, I wouldn't work with Steve Jobs.
Right.
Like
if you had a choice,
I would cry. Like all the time.
Yeah.
And then I'd be fired. Like that, I would not work for Steve Jobs
directly. He was hard to work with. Like the guy you got along the best with was Wozniak, and half the movie they're fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really, really liked it. And it's also a very cinematic movie with Danny Boyle's style, some of his shots, and some of the way he presents information visually. Definitely works seeing it on a big screen in a nice theater. It's definitely a movie I would say, like, go and check out and see it.
I know this is a movie podcast, but you got to read the book.
Oh, no, sure.
Yeah. And I hate it when people say that shit.
No, I like reading books. I've been focusing on reading books that are been eventually turned into movies. I've been reading a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I add it to my list. I still got to read the Philip Pettit book that The Walk is based on, and I want to read the book that Everest was based on. Because they're supposed to be great books.
Yeah.
You know, and the movies are like, eh.
See, now you're reminding me another reason why I feel gypped by Crimson Peak.
Why?
Because I loved season one of The Strain.
Oh, yeah?
So much that I went, as soon as it was over...
Got the books.
I read all of them.
Yeah.
They were great.
Mm-hmm.
And then season two went completely off the rails.
I haven't watched any of season two, and I've heard that it's very different.
It's... I can't imagine how you can have a whole season of TV and it moves forward... So incrementally, it's like...
Oh, really? It's one of those things? They're stretching it out? Only three books. How many seasons are they trying to squeeze out of it?
They changed a zillion things from the books. But I wouldn't have cared if it were good.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. You can make the changes, but if the changes stink...
So...
You know, was it worth it? Was it worth making the changes?
They would have all this drama, and then at the end of everything, nothing actually changed.
Ah, that's annoying.
Then all this drama again, and then nothing actually changed.
That's annoying.
Yes, so...
I did like the first season of The Strain. I love the pilot episode.
First season was great.
Del Toro directed. And the books are good.
Yes,
they are. Yeah, the books are good. But I haven't watched any of the second season, and the rumblings were so bad. And I'm like, eh. There's other things to watch.
Yeah, I would say that. Having watched the whole season.
Yeah, no, that don't even bother.
I would just say
reread the book.
Yeah.
You'll
be sad. You'll have your fifis hurt.
Well then forget it. It ain't happening. So that was Steve Jobs.
Yes.
Okay, what's next?
Number six, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension.
The Ghost Dimension.
$8.2 million
opening weekend.
Unbelievable. Yes.
Man, that thing must have had a budget of like $3 million.
Still.
That's why they make
them. Still with that.
I think they were saying that this is gonna be the last one. But theatrical. I would not be surprised if they start making them direct to video.
Yeah.
You know, or direct to Redbox or streaming or whatever you want to call it these days.
Yeah, this is actually reminds me of Spaceballs when, like, that line where with the news, you know, where he's like, and, you know, out next month, Rocky V.
Yeah.
1,000.
Yeah. just keep cranking them out. Why not? They did a Death Wish joke like that in The Simpsons, like Death Wish 10, and then they cut to Charles Bronson laying in the hospital bed, and he's like, I wish they were dead. Yeah, because they just keep making them because they're so cheap. So cheap. And then this one is in 3D, which is if it's a found footage movie, how's it in 3D? Like they had 3D home cameras.
It's found footage on like some sort of ViewMaster viewfinder. Yeah, the viewfinder found footage. You know, spectral activity. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's why it was kind of genius in the beginning, where pretty much every camcorder has a night vision.
Yeah.
Which will show you things, not just solid objects, obviously, because it's lit up. But I mean, like, it catches weird stuff.
Yeah. And that was smart. But now they just added the whole 3D thing. Yeah, and the commercials, it's obviously like CG looking.
And half the commercial is, you know, watching the audience see the jump scare.
Yeah, they do that now.
With the glasses.
Yeah. Because they know the movie's crap.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll just show people. It's from a different movie. This is from movies from 5 years ago. People don't know. Right? No one's going to know that it's not the same movie.
Ah, whatever. If people are going to buy the tickets, why not?
Why not?
That's what I feel like they must say. Well, they're going to buy the tickets, and my kid needs braces, so let's make another one.
Yeah, plus $8 million worth of people showed up. Yeah. You know, it's not like...
Exactly.
Not like people aren't seeing them. They're not making as much as they were previously. They've seen the laws of diminishing returns on these, but they've also kept the budget so low.
Yeah.
So low. Genius. Genius business model.
True.
As long as you don't mind being the purveyor of crap. That's a great way to make money.
Yeah. It does not show how much it was, like the budget.
Yeah, but it's...
I feel like Jay Sherman. It stinks.
It stinks. It does stink. They keep those budgets like that. They usually keep under wraps because they don't want you to know that they only spent like $1.5 million on it, because then people will be like, oh,
no, I'm going to see that.
I got gypped. So Paranormal Activity. Yeah. I've seen the first one and the third one. That's enough. I get it.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of times,
Ghost, I get
depending on how it's done and what kind of movie it is, like you can tell from you know how much it costs.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one cost something like $7,000 or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
It cost no money,
but for good reason. But in that case, for
good
reason,
which is why it was popular. Yeah.
Same with Blair Witch. I mean, you know,
Blair Witch cost $2 and a chicken sandwich to make.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that in a theater with a bunch of people who like to yell at the movie screen.
Oh, really?
So that was my experience.
Get out of the tent! Get out of the tent!
They were all like, run! And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should watch this at home.
I saw it in an empty theater, pretty much. Like, me and two other people. That movie scared the pants off me.
Yeah,
would. Yeah, but then a friend of mine, like, he saw it separately, scared him too. We were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Came out on video. He rented it, watched it at home. And he came to school the next day. He was like, it's not as...
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work the
when
same.
When it was first released, I got it. Like, you know, they had the small release. I saw it at Enzian.
Uh-huh.
So it hadn't even been released into major theaters yet.
Nice.
And...
Because it was all done here. Well, it was made by people from here.
Yeah. Well, the greatest thing about the movie is like watching it, the experience of watching this movie was that if you saw it early enough... you didn't know that the footage was fake.
Yeah.
Because
they were sounded as this is real.
And this is what I love more than the movie itself. These people, first of all, they put like fake have you seen me pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
And websites.
Yes. Then they made so many websites. Keep in mind, this was the 90s. So
99?
I believe it was
98.
98, 99. I think it was 98. So, I mean, there was internet, but there wasn't like Wikipedia. There, you know what I mean? They actually made so many, including police stations, like...
shit that would be considered illegal now, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
There were websites from locals to that area that were fans of the lore of the Blair Witch.
Of the Blair
which
Witch.
There wasn't one.
They made
all of it up. You could search and go from website to website researching this for days.
And there's no way to know that it was fake.
And there was no way to know that it was fake, and they made all of it.
Until after I saw the movie, the girl who played the lead character, Heather Donahue or whatever, showed up on David Letterman.
Ah.
And I was like, wait a second.
And, the first time I saw her, I missed that, but she was in a Steak and Shake commercial. I was like, they found her.
Yeah. Yeah. when she popped up in those commercials, people were like, that's a girl from Blair Witch. I was like, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's sad.
But I mean, like, that's the thing, though. Yeah, yeah, it kind of is. But I mean, the detail going into that to actually make people in the 90s, which is relatively not that long ago.
No.
We were already cynical in the
90s. 16 years ago.
We knew what Photoshop was at the time. We knew there were special effects.
At that time, people still saw stuff on the internet. Were like, this is real. I saw it.
Yeah,
on
that's true.
People
it was still that.
Still do that.
Yeah.
Well, now people do that are stupid.
Yeah.
At least in the 90s, it could be like, well, it's brand new technology.
Yeah.
There's an internet sensor, right? Make sure everything that goes up there is a fact checker, internet fact checker.
Doesn't everybody have someone in their family, like mom, grandma? But I read it on,
Yeah.
But it's not. No.
I saw it on Facebook. Yeah, so did I.
I won something. No, you didn't.
No. No, you didn't.
No.
You didn't give me your social security. Yes, you did.
Oh.
Blair Witch was a very special case of that because of the timing. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly
it was, said, because it was of the timing. Incredible. And sure. Not only that, but you know, they had the black and white camera and they had the regular camera.
Yeah.
The regular camera got so beat up that actually afterwards they took it back to Circuit City and got a full refund for it.
Geniuses. Geniuses, I say.
Yeah. Trivia.
Paranormal Activity, not as good as that movie though.
I have like
a... Did you ever see Blair Witch 2? Book of Shadows?
No.
Ooh.
I heard it was so bad.
No, boy. Yeah. It's a type of movie where... the first Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
In Blair Witch 2, it takes place in a universe in which Blair Witch is a movie. And that these people have seen the Blair Witch Project movie.
Okay.
And they're like going out and they end up at some warehouse somewhere and it's like the Blair Witch is real. It's almost like they jump straight to Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
I'm already thinking about what might be in your fridge. Just listening to, like, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just get up and go see if there's a snack while they're talking about it. Like, I'm the queen of not seeing the second one.
Yeah, it's no.
Well, some movies, because of the type, like, when they came out with the second one, I was like, you're not making a good second one. I don't care. Like, it's just a weird type of movie that is going
to
be so
hard
to cash in on.
But they've been sequelizing the Paranormal Activities. They figured it out.
That makes sense though. I mean, it's a ghost in a house. Like,
there's a ghost in the woods. Blair Witch.
Yeah, but there's lore to it and everything.
That's on the internet.
Yeah, people still believe shit. You know.
I see Paranormal Activity though. It's a generic ghost story.
It is pretty generic.
Whereas the Blair Witch, very specific.
And
very.
And the ghost name is Toby.
That's funny.
Which is.
Is that really the ghost?
Yeah. Name? Yeah. Toby is the character that keeps popping up and over. The kids are like, Toby wants to play. I'm like, his name's Toby. And it's not scary.
And, you know, and I mean, everybody knows this, even people that haven't seen it. But, like, you know, the end where it does that pop up, like you know, the...
Oh, the first Paranormal Activity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They accidentally, I think about a year ago, spliced that into a children's movie in theaters.
How do you accidentally
Oh, really?
I honestly don't think it was an accident.
Yeah,
but
no.
That's,
someone did that on purpose.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Someone Tyler Durden that one.
Yeah. But it, of course, freaked the kids out.
Of course it would.
But, yeah, I don't
want to see a movie about that.
I don't even remember
about that. Yeah. And the kids that are all traumatized, then they all go home. It's like The Ring,
the lawsuit.
Yeah,
possible.
Oh, just a movie about the lawsuit.
Yeah, The Ring. That's another way of going. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking we'd kill the kids, but you're thinking, yeah, we'll just sue the theater exhibitors.
The whole thing will
make it like a John Grisham
take
drama.
Place in really court. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll get Alan Sorkin.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Sorkin
will write it.
Aaron Sorkin, yeah.
Matt McConaughey could play one of the lawyers. Like, all right.
These kids
have been subjected to something horrible.
I want
to
see this movie.
I'm currently finally watching Newsroom. God, I love it.
Newsroom, yeah. People like it. Drew's a big fan of Newsroom. You could talk about that.
I never really got into The West Wing.
I never gave it a shot. I'm sure it's good. I liked Sports Night.
I loved the first season of The Newsroom.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I just...
It just happens. It's good.
I did like
but
it.
For
I
some reason, it doesn't suck you back in. Nah. That just happens.
I hate it when you're still interested, but you kind of forget to watch something.
Oh, I do that all the time.
I watched season one of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I have two and three. I keep forgetting to watch them.
They're up to like six.
But that's the thing. They're amazing.
Yeah,
like,
they
it
are.
Was really. It's not like I wasn't interested. I just keep forgetting to do it.
It's almost envious because that means you have 10, 20, 30, 40. You have like 50 hours of Game of Thrones, of awesome TV show that you can still watch. Drew hasn't seen The Sopranos. So one day he's going to start that. I'm like, dude, you got like seven seasons.
I have.
Very good show. You haven't?
No.
That's a show that's well worth checking out.
Yeah.
It's good. Deadwood. Three seasons of an awesome show.
My dad loves Deadwood.
Your dad's pretty cool.
I haven't seen Deadwood, but the what's the other one that like...
Deadwood's the one where like every other word is F, right?
Yeah. They're cursing up a storm and they're all talking very Shakespearean too. Very, because they're so dirty and primitive people, relatively speaking. They have to speak in the flowery prose of high English. While also mentioning the fucking cocksuckers. It's like, man, I thought you were a nice guy. Well, now you're cursing.
What was that show with Tim Oliphant?
Justified.
Yes.
Yeah. He was also on he was also on Deadwood.
He
was
on both. Was he?
He was on both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, Justified.
On on FX.
So good, yeah.
That one just ended recently, too.
FX, they have the... Like, they're FX so is good. Good. Yeah.
FX is good.
Yep. I also liked Fargo. Like,
Fargo, that's second one. I've only watched the first episode. I need to catch up on it.
Honestly, I enjoy it. The first season could be its own thing.
Well, that's how they're doing it. Mean? They're doing it each season is telling new stories. So you don't have to...
It's like an American Horror Story.
Exactly.
Thing.
The anthology thing, which is in vogue now in America. They've been doing it for years in the UK.
Yeah.
But I like that American TV and TV executives are now comfortable with anthologies and shortened TV series. Instead of giving us 24 episodes, they're cool with only doing 10.
It makes it easier for people to get into it, too. It does. Because you can just jump in season two. You didn't really miss anything. It's exactly. A new story.
That's the way exactly, I did with American Horror Story.
Yeah. True Detective was that way. But season two was not as well received as season one for True Detective.
And some you can skip. Like, I haven't watched any of the American Horror Story Coven.
The one
I watched.
But the thing is, witches don't interest me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sure. I was like...
Yeah, as a genre.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. I don't know.
But what, Creepy Hotel? You'd be into Creepy Hotel?
Hell yeah.
I watched episode one of Hotel, and I keep forgetting to watch next.
Another one where it just... Yeah, so you liked it enough, but you just keep forgetting about
it?
Well,
because I watched Freak Show, I watched Coven, the first season was...
Oh,
awesome.
First season, I think, might be the best one. It's also the most Twin Peaks-y David Lynch-y in all.
I would agree with that, the one. And then I missed, season two opened with that terrible, it was just a horribly acted opening.
Yeah,
remember?
Channing Tatum's wife and that dude. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're like, they're going to have sex in some really creepy place and there's a monster in there.
It was so just... It was that noise I made that I went, oh.
Yeah. And it was also, I remember that episode was shot in a way. Because I watched most of the first season and like half the second season. And then I just dropped the show entirely. That episode was shot in a way. It was like very hyper editing, very fast. And it's like, this is not how horror is done. Horror has to be a lot of long takes. Yeah. You got to build suspense and not like try to do this quick postmodern action thing. It felt like people were making a horror show that didn't know what horror was, or how to do it, or almost as if you had to explain to aliens from outer space what a horror TV show would be, and then they tried to make one. It's like, you guys don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Was that number? That was all based on
number five. Activity?
Was that my fault? No, I'm sorry.
That just happens. We're just getting to number five right now?
Yep.
Okay, we'll probably end up flying through the top five then. What's number five?
Okay, number five, Hotel Transylvania 2, $9 million.
It's making a lot of money. It's the highest grossing September release ever.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Beating the previous highest grossing September release, Hotel Transylvania 1.
I saw that one.
Did you?
It was cute.
They're making a third one. You didn't seem too excited.
I didn't run to see two.
Obviously not. Yeah.
One was cute.
It was cute. It was okay enough.
It was cute.
Good for the kids.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, then this one's maybe just a wait for a DVD type thing or streaming.
Dollar theater.
Oh,
love the dollar theater.
My mom loved
the... Do we even have one still?
Yeah. Well, it's not actually a dollar. I think it's like $2.
Is it really?
The one in Colonial's still open?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Oh, I'm talking about Picture Show
at Altamont. That is another one. That's the one I usually go to.
Is that the one that used to be a movie theater, that like a normal movie theater?
I think so. The Picture Show, I think it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
That's a great... concept, though, because if you missed it, you want to see something on the big screen. It's cheap.
And also, don't you get to see old trailers too?
I can't remember. It's been a while since I've been there.
I think so. Over the Colonial Promenade, they used to do this. I don't know if they still do it anymore. 75-cent Tuesdays.
Ooh,
and all
that's
day.
A deal.
That is the all day long.
I'd see Crimson Peak again for 75 cents.
I remember with my brother, I went and saw Dumb and Dumber, the prequel that came out like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
We saw that on 75 cent Tuesdays. And when the movie was over,
75 cents back.
I should have taken those 6 quarters and thrown them out the window of a moving car, man. Yeah. What a waste.
I'm taking that back. I wouldn't see Crimson Peak again. I'd go see something else.
Go see Hotel Transylvania 2 for
Yeah, I would do that.
So what's number four movie?
Okay, number four, we have The Last Witch Hunter.
Okay.
10.8.
Mm-hmm. 10.8?
Yep.
That's not too hot of an opening weekend. Especially, I think it's a PG-13 film. So yeah, they probably wanted closer to $15-20 million for an opening weekend.
Yeah, and let's see. Budget not shown.
That's got to be kind of expensive. At least $60-70 million. Looks like it's effects heavy. And also, Vin Diesel's got to get his cut.
He produced it.
He produced it. He's been producing movies for a while because he knows that's where the money, if there is money to be made, that's where it's made, on that back end. I wanted to see the movie because it looks so ridiculous, didn't get a chance to, but you got to see it.
I did see it.
What did you think?
I mean, I think it, I went in with the expectations of it was Vin Diesel playing an 800-year-old witch slayer.
Is that not, is it 800 years?
800 years.
Oh my goodness.
And then miraculously after 800 years, he has no trace of whatever accent he was supposed to have had.
Oh really?
Because we don't really know what,
where he's from?
Where he's from. Or what it was. But he's adopted a New York accent fairly effectively over the 800 years
that's funny.
That he's been walking the earth.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was what it was. I will say this. You haven't watched enough Game of Thrones. Mm. What's her name? Rose Leslie?
Which character?
Ygritte from Game of Thrones.
Ygritte. Oh,
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yes, yes, yes. The wildling.
She was... wonderful, I thought.
She's yeah.
She was wonderful, and Michael Caine is underused.
Of course. He's just collecting the paycheck. How about Elijah Wood?
He was all right. I mean, you got some good...
Is he in it a little bit more?
He's in it a little bit more. Okay. He's in it a little bit more.
Because he's like his right-hand man, right? Vin Diesel's...
Yeah. I'm trying... See, I'm not as good as... What should I say about the movie without giving too much away?
Sure, I mean... So you seem like you went in with expectations and it met them.
It met my expectations.
You knew what you were getting into.
Exactly. Which is why I feel like the critics have been unfair. Because once I was done, I went and I was like, you know.
So, yeah.
You ever see that Family Guy where he's with Tinkerbell and she's like, you're just going to dump me? And he goes, you knew what this was.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I feel when I read the reviews. I'm like, you knew what this was. Come on.
Yeah, getting into it. Exactly.
I quote that to my wife all the time.
You do not, you don't have to shit on the movie. You can acknowledge that it's bad and still be like, yeah, but it's entertaining.
But it wasn't
though.
Even that bad. It wasn't like, it was, you know.
Were
it
you
was,
at least, it was, were you entertained?
I was entertained. Okay. Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
I was entertained.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
She was good.
As long as you don't feel like you watch a movie when it's over, you're like, oh, I wasted my time.
No, but you know, I expect those Bruce Willis-y one-liners in a Vin Diesel movie.
Yes.
Yeah. I want at least one.
Yeah.
I do not expect those in Crimson Peak.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. That there is a character that does have a one-liner at one point. And when that happened, I was like, seriously?
That was my groan.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was silly. But it also happens all the way towards the end. So by then I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Right.
I'm in. This isn't going to ruin it for me personally. But yeah, that
it
was.
It didn't ruin it.
It is goofy,
I mean, it
though.
Was already pretty well done by then. It's but like, I mean, it was just sort of like, really? You
this,
threw that in?
Was
too?
This role originally written for Steven Seagal? Oh my God, Steven Seagal on Crimson Peak.
When that
as
line
Edith character.
Came out of her mouth,
yeah.
My husband turned to me and went, it's been revoked. And we just started laughing.
Fantastic.
Yes, exactly.
That's hysterical.
That's why we're married.
So that was the last one. What did you say, people? Should people go check it out?
If you like those kinds of movies.
Yeah, something,
if you
a
want
silly fantasy.
Just a silly fantasy, good effects,
mm-hmm.
Pretty witches.
Vin Diesel.
Really interesting, fun view of Ygritte for Game of Thrones fans who've not seen her in anything else.
Yeah, the redhead wildling.
Yeah, it was fun. And yeah, I would say if you like that kind of movie, this will do it for you.
I'm gonna have to check out a matinee or something. I'm gonna have to make my way to the theater so I can finally see that.
Yeah.
That was number three.
That was number four. Number three is Bridge of Spies.
So okay, which came out last week.
11.3. Do you want to get faster?
I mean, people, they can go to last week's episode and hear Drew and I talk about Bridge of Spies. We got to see it. It's a good movie. It's definitely good. It's a little long. Mm-hmm. Some people might be bored by it because it's a very studious cinematic type of movie. But I mean, it's Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. And I thoroughly enjoyed it personally.
Okay.
That was number three?
Yep. Number two is Goosebumps.
Sure. It was number one last weekend.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
It's getting okay reviews.
Okay. I haven't read any.
It's supposed to be
that's the thing,
pretty good for the kids.
Yeah
that's
the
peak what I
of
thought.
The, the peak of their popularity when they 90s. Were actually coming out and stuff was the 90s, and I was a kid. I never read any of them.
I know. Yeah. I was way past my, you know.
I didn't read them either.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, it was, you know, just like if I were a kid in the 50s, it's like, you know, a girl, Nancy Drew, you know.
Sure, Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys, I couldn't think of it.
Well, those stories, you know, those unfortunately, types of stories, Nancy Drew, well done, don't get old. They're fun.
Yeah.
If they're well done, they're fun.
Yeah, I mean, those were older books. I had a bunch of them. Me and my brother had them in the 80s and 90s. Yeah, absolutely. The Goosebumps one is more pop culture.
Yeah.
You know,
they
got to
throw a little something in there for the parents.
Yeah, exactly.
It was still one of those things, though, where at that time, like, you, it was just expected. You've read this, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And sure. Like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I never did.
Okay.
So that makes me a lot less likely to
see the movie.
I love Jack Black.
I like the concept of the movie where it's all the monsters are coming out of the book.
It looks fun.
So yeah, exactly. It looks
that
like
is
fun.
Cool. Especially,
it's a fun concept.
You know what's really funny? Actually, now that you mention that, what's so funny is that because they were so popular at the time that I was supposed to be reading it, I know all those covers. I don't know the stories,
but I do know those covers.
Were fun. They had like a garbage pail kid quality to
them.
They
absolutely
now
did.
I'm dating myself.
Hey, garbage pail kids are back.
And, of course.
Yeah, 30th anniversary.
Everything that was big when I was a kid, anything that's nostalgic.
Their popularity, they were like just almost to like our age. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember having some when I was in the 80s. I had a bunch of them. Yeah. And like, my mom didn't like them too much. Like, these are a little vile for a little kid to be playing with. And I was like,
it was Tales from the Crypt for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like Puss.
And I love Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, for me, Tales from the Crypt was Tales from the Crypt for kids. I love that show.
I love that
show, too. So creepy.
I didn't see that until I was in my 20s.
It still holds up. Even in your 20s, it's like, this is a weird show.
I had it signed by...
The movie, the Tales from the Crypt movie?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Actually, a couple of them. They're Bordello of Blood and...
Bordello of Blood. I saw that one.
There's a couple of them. So that's number two. Number one is... Box office.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about...
still talking about Tales from the Crypt.
The Martian was number one.
Interesting.
With just about 16. It was 15.9.
Yeah, The Martian's making a ton of money. It's a popular movie. It's been out for a few weeks now, so it's interesting that it made it back to number one after Goosebumps was number one last week.
Yeah. The budget was 108, though, so I mean, it's still...
Yeah, and it's
a way to go.
It's made... Oh, no, it's made total here in America, maybe 130, 140, okay. And then international is like matched that. So it's around 300 worldwide, or maybe 350. It's one of Ridley Scott's highest grossing of his career, one of Matt Damon's highest grossing as a lead actor in a movie. The Martian 2 coming in three... No, probably not. But it's good. I like it quite a bit. Also, the book's really good, too. Definitely recommend reading the book. It's one of those things where you don't have to read the book.
I want
to
read the book. That's why I haven't gone.
It's very good.
It looks like a film that I would enjoy, though.
Yeah, it's a very... when it comes to science fiction, do you like stuff that's maybe more grounded and like astronauts in a spaceship? Or do you like the stuff that's with the lightsabers and creatures and other worlds?
I'm all over. I love good sci-fi. Well, I like sci-fi horror. Yeah. We'll get into that
later. Okay, well, it's definitely very solid science fiction. Yeah. The realism side of science fiction. It's very, very good, actually. I enjoy it quite a bit. So that's your box office recap for the week.
That is.
Thank you, Etchy. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. New movies coming out on DVD this week. There's that Max movie about the army dog or the military dog that I guess the dude...
Oh, I won't see that because I'll cry for the whole thing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a tearjerker, you know. It's like the son dies in battle or whatever in Afghanistan, but the dog makes the best of the
family.
I'm
already starting to get choked up.
Exactly. It's Marley and Me, but in the war.
No, I can't.
Pixels comes out on DVD, the Adam Sandler, Kevin James movie. Where
did you see it?
No, I did not because... Okay. I didn't want to kill myself that day.
Well, I figured you would probably... It'd be something to talk about just because it's...
Yeah, it came out during the summer on a weekend when like three other movies came out. So yeah. If I didn't have a choice, I would have seen it.
Yeah.
Just have something to talk about, but I did have a choice and the reviews were bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I can skip this one. Southpaw comes out on DVD. The Jake Gyllenhaal boxing movie, which is a pretty good movie. I was hoping for more. It's kind of by the numbers when it comes to this type of story, but Gyllenhaal is fantastic.
Not as good as Cinderella Man.
I like him better than Cinderella Man. Yeah, yeah. If Jake Gyllenhaal from Southpaw fought Russell Crowe from Cinderella Man, yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal would kick his ass.
I want him to fight Russell Crowe from that South Park episode.
Oh, wait. Me and Tugga here. Oi, Tugga. And also coming out on DVD, this movie, The Gift, with Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton and Rebecca Hall. It's a little low-budget thriller that came out in early August, written and directed by Joel Edgerton, and it's very good. It's definitely worth seeing. It's a type of movie where it builds up to a big twist at the end, so it's kind of a thing where it's like worth watching at least once, but then I don't see myself ever rewatching it.
Yeah.
But I still liked it, though. It's well done. Well acted, well done. That's coming out on DVD. In theaters, two movies come out this weekend. Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
That looks great.
Looks weird, right?
I hope looks that like it's fun. As good as it looks.
It yeah. looks...
The commercials are... The trailers have been fun.
It's one of those ones, though, that like through the first half, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right. And then like the second half, I'm like, this is stupid.
Like, I can't... You can't decide?
No.
You're vacillating between the two?
It's like, it's either, yeah, something you're going to think is like awesome. Mm-hmm. Much like it had the feel of like, this is the end.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like the
over the
comedic
top.
Apocalyptic.
Right. Yeah. And it can't, those are tough. Sometimes yeah. they're great and sometimes they fail miserably.
And sometimes yeah. they can be torture to get through.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't even remember what the lines were. There are a couple of lines there.
Comedy's
that like
hard. About comedy is hard.
Especially yeah. when you mix it comedy action, comedy horror. Yeah. Yeah. You're treading thin ice.
Yes.
On that for sure.
Which I thought, by the way, Zombieland, that was one of the best examples of a good job.
Absolutely.
As far as like comedy and action, like, oh, he just
Which I feel like this is the type of movie where they're kind of maybe trying to emulate that sort of thing.
Zombieland was.
Yeah. Zombieland was fantastic.
Shaun of the Dead.
Originally developed.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead's fantastic. Zombieland was originally developed to be a TV show and no one bought. So they turned it into a feature length script and they got that sold.
Wow.
And now they may go back and turn into a TV show again because of the popularity of the movie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
which would be, that's why there's the whole zombie kill of the week. That was going to be a recurring thing. Every episode, every week.
Oh, that's
gonna be,
awesome.
Now they do that on they do that on Talking Dead now.
Do they?
For the most. Well, not kill of the week. They do like an in memoriam.
Oh, that's funny. Who died this week? Hey, someone dies every week on that show. And also coming out a dramatic version of a documentary, Our Brand is Crisis, comes out with Sandra Bullock. Directed by David Gordon Green. Yeah, Sandra Bullock, yeah. Sandy.
That's true. It's a little different.
Not exactly while you were sleeping.
Yeah. Although Speed.
Woo. Speed is fantastic. Speed's a classic.
Yeah.
Our Brand is Crisis looks interesting. I'm surprised, though, that the trailers don't say from the director of Pineapple Express and Your Highness. Like, why don't they want to associate this movie with those movies? That's weird. But anyway, also from the writer of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. So some talent behind the camera on this one for sure. Looking Definitely. Forward to it. All right, let's take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. We're going to play some music here. Speaking of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, I actually pulled a couple of songs from that movie. They have an original soundtrack by Alberto Iglesias, which is very jazzy and low-key and 70s and very cool. But then in the movie itself, they play a couple of songs during a couple of key moments, and I pulled those songs to play. One is a Sammy Davis Jr. song.
Nice.
Spinning Wheel. Kids listening, look up Sammy Davis Jr. All right, Google him. He's awesome. I know you don't know who he is. Trust me, he's great. And Julio Iglesias. A song called La Mer, which I believe is Spanish for the myrrh. or the sea or the ocean or something like that.
Definitely.
So here we go. Listen to these two songs and we're going to be back with the second half. Got a lot to do. Got a Vox Populi, movie news. We're going to talk about Halloween movies. So you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
All right. Here we go.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talk about the trouble, it's crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let your spinning wheel spin. You got no money, and you got no home. Spinning wheel, all alone. Talk about your trouble, you'll never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spin. Did you find a directing sign on the straight and narrow highway? Would you mind a reflecting sign? Just let it shine within your mind. And
the color that is real. Someone is waiting just for you. Spinning wheel, spinning true. Drop all your trouble by the riverside. Ride a painted pony and let your spinning wheel fly. Ha! And let your spinning wheel fly. Grab a painted pony and let the spinning wheel fly. Let the spinning wheel fly. Let your spinning wheel do its own thing and fly. Thank you, blood, sweat, and tears.
Mais c'est tellement nouvelle cette chanson française qu'il faut que je lis toutes les paroles parce qu'elle vient de la fête il y a 3 jours. Elle a seulement 3 jours. Et c'est pour ça que j'ai les paroles ici. Mais je vous promets que depuis aujourd'hui, elle va être très populaire en France. Vous voyez. Je pense.
La mer qu'on voit danser les langues des golfes clairs a des reflets d'argent. La mer des reflets changeants sous la pluie. Avec les dents soupire la mer que je rêve d'assurer infini. Oh yeah. Voyez près des étangs. Le long des golfes clairs et des chansons d'amour, la mer a bercé mon cœur pour la vie, la vie. Voyez. Des étangs, ces grands roseaux mouillés, voyez, ces
les a versés, les noms des golfes clairs et des chansons d'amour, la mer, oh, a versé mon cœur pour la vie.
Oui, merci. Avant de finir, je voudrais bien que vous fassiez un grand applaudissement pour la belle orchestre de l'Olympia de Paris, que c'est magnifique, s'il vous plaît. Merci. Merci pour mes musiciens. Il vient toujours avec moi pour tout le monde, c'est Tony la guitare, c'est Agustin la batterie, c'est Vicente la guitare basse, et pour notre directeur avec lequel je compose presque toutes mes chansons, c'est Raphaël Ferro qui est la guitare.
Welcome to the Quest Logo.
Oh, that's a bit loud. Let me lower that. Oh, sorry about that, people. Welcome back to the second half. No, man, I haven't done that in a while. Welcome to the second half. Not welcome back to the second half, because it's the beginning of the second half. Semantics, they're wonderful. I am your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Steve Etchy, Steve.
Hey.
And Amy Drew Thompson. Amy.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
I'm doing good.
We're having a great time here. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Etchy, where can people find you online?
Holy Lord. You can find me on Facebook at Steve Etchy. I've been trying to get more into Instagram. I always forget, you know.
That
but anyway.
It's there.
Yeah. It is just Etchy. Same thing with Twitter.
Mm-hmm. ETCHIE.
Yeah. ETCHIE. I love Twitter. It's the best.
Twitter's fun. It's also the worst, but it's the best.
Yeah. But it has to be. That's how it works. It
yeah. Yeah. The good with the bad.
Google Plus, Steve.etchy.
No say, one uses it. It's dead, dude.
No, it's not.
I'm not even going to say dead. My Google Plus.
It's not dead.
I forgot I had one until you just said that.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. It's actually my homepage. I check it more often than Facebook.
Man, the one person.
I know.
You should write to Google and let them know. They'll give you something. Maybe they'll give you Google Plus.
Get some Google swag.
Like, this guy likes Google Plus so much, he can have it.
I want one of their self-driving cars.
Maybe, which comes with Google Plus. Actually, no. Their self-driving cars will come with Facebook compatibility. They're going to give up. Watch. Like
yeah.
You can hook up your Twitter and your Facebook to your Google car. What about your Google Plus? I'm like, Google what?
They're actually already condensing it into something else and kind of shoving it away. If you already use you won't notice that it's moved.
That's gone.
But yeah. But
essentially.
Anybody can still talk on
okay,
it.
Okay, so follow Etchy on Google Plus. At
God, I can't believe I got away from that.
Yeah. at Google.
New network coming.
Yes.
The PFFT network
I love that.
That is hysterical.
Which is going to come out at the end of next month.
With the first show of Tidbits?
And the first show is going to be Tidbits, awesome. Which is going to have you on it.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, we just recorded some segments for that.
It's going to be great.
Myself and Drew Cogburn.
Yes. And yep. I'm going to be posting on all those said social media networks with the coming soon.
Excellent.
It's great. It's kind of creepy.
Why do you say it's creepy?
It's me as a mannequin.
Oh, that is creepy.
Yeah. My wife, like, she's like, just take it off.
Genuinely creepy. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's coming up.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you.
Yes.
Amy.
I'm going to keep it simple at Twitter. Mm-hmm. I am Amy Drew, AmyDroo. That's phonetic.
Yes, people. Droo.
The EW was already taken, so.
Was it?
I just rolled with it.
That's a smart workaround.
And you can find me at the same on Instagram.
Amy Drew, Droo.
Yes, yeah. I am a relatively new Instagrammer. Instagramma.
a lot of the food porn on there, I noticed.
Yes. It's, well, you know, people like the food pictures.
People do love the food pictures.
They do love the food pictures.
Especially pictures of sandwiches, desserts, and smoked meats.
Is that true?
Yes. Veggies don't get clicks. Remember that.
That's not true. My vegan posts get the most likes.
Oh, well, that's because it's arranged into a nice looking dish. Just put out a picture of some steamed broccoli and see how many likes you get there.
I'm going to take a picture of one of those maple bacon donuts.
Oh, there
donut
you go.
Game, yeah. And it's going to go like, bazing.
Yeah, label that vegan. See what people think. Yeah. Like, nah, I don't think
no,
so.
No, I usually label those not vegan with a hashtag. Just and, they, so you know. And they also get hits.
Just
yes.
So you know.
Anyway, that's where to find me.
And AmyDrewThompson.com.
Correct.
What are some of the outlets that you write for that people can find through that website?
For folks here in Orlando, mm-hmm. most often you'll find me at USAtoday's10best.com.
Very nice.
Writing about stuff in town, but sometimes throughout Florida and occasionally other places.
Cool.
I do a lot of business work. So, I mean, on my site, you'll find everything from, you know, fishing in the Keys mm-hmm. to eating hamburgers to, you know, African-American erotica.
Nice.
I mean, literally. So
covering the gamut.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
I love it. Very nice.
Exactly.
Very cool. Well, AmyDrewThompson.com, people go to it.
Correct.
Do it. And then when you're done there, go to chriscross.com, as always. I got up, I just put up a new op-ed. I'm trying to develop the blog section more. You know, I'm still going to do the reviews and stuff, but I got to put other things on there for content.
Yes.
It's all about content is king. That's stupid phrase, right? So I just wrote a nice little piece. If you want to read 3,000 words on why Star Wars will not have the biggest opening weekend of all time, but could very possibly be the biggest grossing film of all time. If you think that is a weird dichotomy, you don't know box office history. Check out my article, Will Star Wars The Force Awakens Break Box Office Records at chriscross.com, meticulously sourced, and also based on Twitter, Mattis Cabin from SBK Live.
Yeah, yeah.
We have sort of a bet thing. There's no, like... No penalty or anything at the end. But we sort of have a bet where I thought the Avengers movie that came out in May mm-hmm. was going to make more money. And he thinks Star Wars is going to make more money. Opening weekend.
That's a good
opening
one.
Weekend. Yeah. And Avengers...
I'm making, intrigued.
It is. That's good.
I am intrigued.
Avengers made $191 million opening weekend. So now the bet is, will Star Wars make $191? I say no, and my article explains why.
You know...
I'm going to read that.
It's a good one. Check it out.
You know the most interesting international conundrum when it came to, like, if, you know, a movie would make its money back
uh-huh.
was Dr. Seuss, the...
The Lorax.
No.
The Grinch.
Yes.
Okay. I knew I was going to get it.
Because it was the first live action one.
Okay.
Grinch.
Yeah, right. It was. That's with Jim Carrey. That's
right. They didn't know how well it would do internationally because... All of the words in the Dr. Seuss book
uh-huh.
don't make any sense.
So you can't translate them.
Nope.
Mm.
And even if it's not translated, like, you know, somebody can be like, blah, 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 and you know, like, and you're watching like a foreign film and you're like, they just made a noise.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I mean, like, it's so intricately weaved into regular language
uh-huh.
that they were like, I don't know if we may take a huge hit in every other country.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's like, how do you translate the Lorax into Chinese?
Yeah, you
right.
can't.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, Star Wars won't have that problem. No, it's Star Wars. International, it's going to make so much money, it's going to be ridiculous. So again, chriscross.com, go there for stuff. Oh, ratings and reviews on iTunes. And if you want free stickers, cinemacrespo@gmail.com. And follow me on Twitter, @IamChrisCrespo. Chris Crespo was taken.
Was it?
Yeah. That is such a bummer.
It is a bummer. It's like, oh. And then I looked it up, and the guy barely uses it. And
that's the worst.
And he hasn't updated in a while.
You don't appreciate what you have.
Yeah, exactly. Like, screw you, man. I could be taking over the world with this Twitter account.
I've accidentally tweeted to him a few times, too.
Yeah. That happens. I've seen on Twitter some people. I
totally have.
I think on Instagram, there's someone called I Am Chris Crespo on Instagram. On Instagram, I just have a show account, Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen people tweet to a Chris Crespo on Instagram. Like, I'm that's not me. So just people out there getting wrong tweets. And wrong messages all the time. It's cool. I still sense it in the universe that people are doing that, so thank you. Okay, so let's first talk about our favorite Halloween movies. Halloween is this weekend. This is technically going to be the Halloween show, because by the time I put out another episode, we will be in the month of November. So I'll go ahead and get started, because I've mentioned this on the show a bunch of times. People are not going to be surprised by this. My three favorite horror films, my three favorite films to watch during Halloween, all have very similar titles. They're all The Something. So it's The Shining.
Good one.
I can watch it every year. The Thing might be my all-time favorite. I love The Thing. And I already mentioned this, The Fly. Cronenberg's The Fly.
See, this is why we're friends.
There you go.
This is why we're friends.
It's meant to be. I love those movies. I can watch them every year. They're just so expertly made. Whenever people want recommendations for a Halloween movie, those are the three I throw out every time. You want something else? Nah.
Yeah.
Then you're on your own. Something with zombies, I don't know. Amy, what do you got?
Well, I make a distinction because I love so many horror movies, but uh-huh. I don't think all of them are Halloween-y.
Sure.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My pinnacle probably has to be Halloween. I know it sounds cliche.
Halloween, sure.
That was mine.
There you go.
It has to be. It just is. It's the perfect quintessential slasher movie.
It's almost the proto slasher.
Yeah.
Because there were some things that came out before that, but it really set the standard for that style of film.
It really did. It had, you know, some great cat. You had Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Breakout
you
role
have
for her.
Donald Pleasance, who is so awesome.
Uh huh.
And it's Halloween.
Right. The Mike Myers character, which in the script is just called The Shape.
So, see?
And very iconic.
In a Shatner mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that they did that.
Isn't it an inverted Shatner mask, too?
They did a bunch of shit to it. Like, they boiled it and stretched it out and did all sorts of shit.
That's one of the things that's so great about it, is that it's kind of flaying out.
Yes.
You know, it has that... That leather facey
quality. That used look to it.
Yeah.
Nothing looks well done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if you see like a serial killer.
Like a homemade.
They had like a, but like, you know how Hollywood can do the like homemade, but badass and perfectly done?
Yeah, like the Jigsaw mask or something.
Yeah,
or,
and with him, it's just something he just put on.
It's almost like he found it in a dump, a garbage dump.
Exactly.
Put it on.
We have no budget. We'll use this.
Yes.
Yeah. Just put it on and let's go.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of the things that I love about older films is like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't put it on my list necessarily, but it is like an iconic, you know, peak era horror movie.
Yeah.
Then they remade it.
Oh,
and I saw the trailer. I was waiting for like Adam Levine to walk out and start singing. It's too perfect.
Yeah.
It's too polished.
The Jessica Biel's in it. Yeah.
It's too pretty all over.
Yeah.
The thing that makes that movie so terrifying is that everything, you can feel that Texas-y.
Oh.
I was just thinking, I wonder when that's going to happen.
Oh, sorry. Drew Sakai, Grin vs. the World. It's time for the trivia.
Oh.
But... Please, I'd like you to finish your thought.
My point was that the reason that looks so terrifying is because you can practically feel that grit,
Texas road dust on
you. It looks like almost like, I mean, dare I say, like a snuff film almost.
It looks
real.
Exactly.
And that's why it's terrifying.
When they pick up the hitchhiker, when they get to the house, when they meet the family, it just feels like they really wandered into the wrong place with a camera and someone's actually documenting. It feels like a real found footage movie without it being actual, without the gimmick. It reminds me of Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Mm.
That's one where it's just so grimy and gritty and real, and not in a way that people would associate those terms with movies now, but like just, ugh. That was one of the few times I saw a movie when it was over. I was like, first off, I was glad I was watching it by myself. Because that would be a weird thing to experience with someone else watching a movie like that. And then I was like, okay, I'm shower time. I need to cleanse myself after watching this movie. So, oof, man, it gets into your soul. We'll pick up with your favorite Halloween movies in a second. But we got to do the game here. It's time for Drew Sakai, Grin vs. the World. We do this every week when we have a guest. The guest is the world versus Drew Sakai. Drew Sakai's not here. So, Steve, you got to be Drew Sakai.
Yay!
And Drew is doing quite well this year. He has a record of 14-5. He just won.
Ruin it.
I'm repping the world. Yo, that's a lot of pressure.
You are repping the world. And the world has lost 14 times this year.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad.
One of those 14 was me.
Okay.
Yeah, not too long ago. So it's a weird sort of redemption for you right now, Steve. This game is called Starring and Or Directed by Clint Eastwood. I'm going to give you a Clint Eastwood movie. He's in the movie. But you have to tell me whether or not he directed it.
What is the Mitt Romney debate?
RNC?
The RNC.
That was fantastic with the empty chair. The Republicans shat their pants when he did that. Like, what's he doing? He went old man on us. So I'm going to give you the Clint Eastwood movie. You tell me whether or not he directed it. I have two groups of five, A and B. Drew won last week. So, Steve, you got to go first. Winner take out. Do you want group A or group B? Choose wisely. It's on you.
B.
Okay, you're getting B.
You're in good shape with this one. I'm not that good with Clint.
All right. Oh. Totally random. Steve's not either. Okay, well, here's the movie. You tell me whether or not he directed it. Number one, Trouble with the Curve.
No.
That is correct. Number two, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Didn't know he was in that. No.
He did direct it.
Damn it. That was an awesome book.
It is a good book.
I loved that book.
Number three, Gran Torino.
He did.
Correct. Number four, Pink Cadillac.
No.
Correct. Number five, Absolute Power.
Oh, that was good too. I'm going to say yes.
That is correct. You got 4 out of 5. Impressive. Ugh, all right, Amy.
Pressure. So now what's my...
I'm going to give you the Clint Eastwood movie. You tell me yes or no if he directed it.
Directed. Okay.
Is he the director? Number one, A Fistful of Dollars.
No.
Correct. Number two, The Outlaw Josie Wales.
No.
He did direct it. He did. Number three, Every Which Way But Loose.
No.
Correct. Number four, The Bridges of Madison County.
Yes.
That is correct. And number five, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
Yes.
That is incorrect. You got 3 out of 5. Edgy wins by one.
Lost.
By one.
That last one was such a guess.
It was close.
Basically, I just played it by, like, if it was recent, yes.
Most likely.
you know what I mean?
Well, Trouble with the Curve is his most recent one that he was in, and he did not direct that one. You got that right.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I actually
I let you down.
I actually thought it was old.
Trouble with the Curve?
Yeah.
Very recent. Has Amy Adams in it. He played a pitching coach, and it was like his last year.
That is...
Because he's going blind or something.
That is my
bit. That is about Josie Wales.
That was his.
It's gonna haunt me.
That was the second movie he ever directed, after I think Pale Rider. No, High Plains Drifter. I don't
want to. Left Turn, Clyde.
Left Turn.
I think I said this last time I was here, but that is my current biggest gripe is that Hulu has commercials, but they don't have trailers. And I hardly watch TV at all. So there have been a few times where, you know, I've had a friend be like, oh yeah, I'm going to see da-da-da-da-da. And it's like the second weekend, and I'm like, I've never heard of that.
Because you don't get to see the marketing.
I don't, yeah, there's no marketing towards me whatsoever.
Yeah, unless you actually go to the movies on the reg.
Yeah.
Because, you know, since I go to the movie theater every weekend, I'm seeing trailers all the freaking time.
Yeah.
But if you're not watching it on TV, not going to movies, how do you know it's coming out?
Exactly.
You gotta go down to, like, the internet.
One of them was the kids movie, the Transylvania one.
Hotel Transylvania Dose.
Yeah, I'd never
heard
of it.
Very successful, as a matter of fact. Halloween. And what was the other one you said?
I was actually just talking about horror movies. But yes. I think for Halloween, I love Halloween the classics. Specific. I love like a Dario Argento.
That's a Suspiria. Yeah,
I love any of those, and I love the classics. I love House on Haunted Hill. Yeah. Vincent Price.
Yeah.
I love those AMC classics. I love the original Wolfman.
Yeah. Lon Chaney.
I love those, you know, real old Universal horror.
Sure.
For Halloween.
The Boris Karloff stuff.
For Halloween. Mm-hmm. But I gotta give The Thing. And I was having this debate. It is a sci-fi horror movie.
Yes.
So I said to my husband, I don't know. That may be too sci-fi for Halloween, but I'll watch that movie.
Yeah, I don't think
with all those grisly, you know, I'm talking middle. I like the middle sister.
Yeah,
of The Thing.
82.
Yes, yeah. 82. That's like ground zero perfect cinema for me.
Yeah. The popping of the creatures and the way they grow. And yes,
it's
so
awesome.
So visceral and gross and weird. And,
yes.
You know, when they remade that, that 2011 version.
I saw it.
Which wasn't necessarily a remake. It was a prequel.
Right.
But they still did kind of try to remake some moments.
Mm-hmm.
And all the transformations are CG. And they look terrible because they look so obviously fake, you know? It's not like I'm saying the stuff in The Thing is so realistic, but when the dog creature, like, looks its head
off. At the time, that was cutting.
Yeah, that was the best.
Freaking edge.
And even now, if you see it in the theater, it's like, that is gross and creepy looking.
It is. It's
but
awesome.
But with bad CG, it still just looks like bad CG, no matter what. No matter what it looks like.
True.
But if you go online, you can find behind the scenes making of The Thing 2011. They hired a company that actually did a lot of practical effects, practical creatures with like tons of eyes and things growing out of it. And you move levers and they move around and it's all weird and practical.
Right.
And then when the producers of the movie saw the effects, they very stupidly said, it looks like an 80s movie. Which is, that's the point,
but
you dummies.
But everybody, you want to pull in those people like me who, yes. I mean, I went anyway because it was
because
a thing.
Because it's a thing, I know.
And I had to go. They're going to get my money.
I
it was
got
like,
sucked into it, too.
Oh,
felt,
no, the worst.
I felt like an asshole.
No, you know what was my like asshole that, movie was Clash of the Titans remake.
Oh, man.
I wanted to kill myself after I spent money on that movie.
Yeah, the actual, the first one, right? Not the sequel was eh. But that first, the actual
I didn't
Clash
see,
of the Titans.
Again,
you didn't bother with the Wrath of the Titans?
After that?
Sure. Fair enough.
Atrocity.
Fair enough.
But those old Harryhausen monsters.
The stop motion animation.
The best. They were the best.
The only thing I really liked about. I'm with you. I didn't like the first one, the Clash of the Titans. But the Wrath of the Titans, the sequel that they did, the end of the movie, it ends with a giant like lava monster coming up out of. Like a lava god that was dormant inside a volcano coming up out of the mountain. And he's like. He's swiping at Pegasus. So, like, the lava is flying off his hands and crashing on the ground. I like the scale of it. I like that tiny little Perseus has to fight this gigantic 600-foot-tall monster. A monster that is so big.
The boss.
Yeah,
the
big
character.
Boss. The big boss character. And it is so big, it's like it lives in slow motion.
It sounds kind of Scooby-Doo fun. Like this lava monster.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. And he's
getting.
Like, he's throwing his arm around and he's just tossing magma everywhere. And he has to like fly a Pegasus into his mouth and defeat him from the inside or something. It's so absurd and over the top. I really liked it. But the rest of the movie is garbage, and the movie before is total. I wouldn't tell people to go see it.
Oh.
I'm just explaining what I liked about it.
You know? No, I'm with you.
But yeah, the thing, I don't think it's too sci-fi. It's so full of paranoia, and it's so dark and
so
and,
good.
Yeah, so good. I think it's a perfect Halloween movie. Saw it at the Enzi a couple years ago, a cult classic screening.
I would go see that again tomorrow.
Yeah, for only $5 too. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Sold out. Sold the place out. Any other Halloween specific movie you want to put out there, or is that that's the one that came to you, the thing?
Halloween has to be it because
it's so good.
It just has to be,
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's classic. Steve.
Yes.
You respond to Halloween.
It is a time to visit horror roots.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It would definitely. And I think the reason my favorite I think my favorite horror film of all time is actually 28 Days Later.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But the thing is I would first watch Halloween on Halloween before I would watch 28 Days Later. And I think part of it is that literally any of the 365 days of the year, if I were flipping through and 28 Days Later had just started on TV,
I would
watch the whole thing. Yeah.
But for Halloween, you want that to be holiday specific? You wouldn't watch Halloween in March? You'd wait for like
nobody airs it in March.
That's true. That's very true.
I probably actually would also, but I mean the point is like 28 Days Later is so my favorite that it's sort of just any time
whenever it's on, you would just watch it.
Yeah, sure. So it's like, well, make something else special, and it is that thing with the Halloween where it is the classics. I really can't explain why, but it's very true.
Yeah.
And if you didn't do Halloween, I would actually say the original Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Another root horror film.
Yeah,
especially because there's something weird about something not done as well. What I mean by that...
The low budgetness of it.
Yes. If you could... when I was a kid, if you showed me, a really scary face, that was just the scariest thing you've ever seen, and I'd be like, wow... That's impressive,
Yeah.
But when I saw that woman coming out from, the Bruce Campbell.
Evil Dead.
Thank you. In the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that was coming out
Favorite
from.
Favorite trilogy
from,
of all time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dead by Dawn. I'm so looking forward to that TV show. It's going to be so good.
She looks.
Me too.
My money.
Yeah, me too.
I'm so pissed.
By this week, too. I got to do it by Saturday.
Yes.
That woman coming out of the basement. Looks dumb as hell.
Yeah,
and it scares the shit out of me.
It's so low
so
budget.
Great.
Yeah, so cheap.
There is something unnerving about it.
Yeah,
and with them, it's not that it's low, but is that the movie was literally so old?
Yeah,
I mean they shot that graveyard shot. It was daytime because they didn't know how to shoot day for night at the yet.
Yeah, Yeah. What the beginning?
But that's
I'm coming
terrifying.
To get you, Barbara.
But, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's daylight. They're bringing all the creepy crawlies out into broad daylight, yeah. which is one of the things that makes that kind of horror. So.
Yeah, you're supposed to be afraid of the dark.
Exactly.
But they're finding a way to try to make you afraid of the right. daytime, too.
Yeah.
And you're never safe.
Yeah.
And I would imagine if you wanted to, you could probably look at them and just be like, look, they're totally actors walking around. Like if it was freaking you out and you're trying to, you know, like.
Separate yourself from it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think it'd be pretty simple.
Yeah.
I mean, but which is weird because that's not at all to say like they didn't do a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it,
well, I think it's the same with talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre because it is so low budget. It's not slick. That and you know the mask and the clothing feels like found. That it gives it a sense
dirty.
Of realism.
He looks bloody. That scene where just at the end where he grabs her and then that metal door
yeah.
slams shut.
Boom.
And they're yeah. shooting up at it and there's those feathers on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And the sound of the door closing kind of rings. It hangs there
yeah.
for a second.
Yeah. It's creepy.
Chills.
It's creepy.
Kind of reminds me of the door at the end of...
The Doors.
No.
Sliding Doors. Chronicles of Narnia.
You know, I almost had it.
I gotcha.
I don't even remember.
Okay. If you remember it during the show, just shout it out randomly. And if you remember it in the middle of the night, like 2 in the morning,
Tourette's
text, text
just
me.
Just yell it.
It's yeah. so obvious to me, too.
That happens to me all the time. I remember it the last second.
With Jigsaw, damn it.
Saw.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saw. Like that door closing at the end, you know, and the guy's like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first Saw.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The first Saw is an effective movie. It's interesting.
Oh, I thought it was
the
great.
The first Saw was a very original idea.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And it started the career of James Wan, who has gone on to have huge success with The Conjuring, just did the last Fast and Furious movie, just signed on to do, after he does The Conjuring 2, what's he doing next? Something else. Huge, big budget. And it's so funny to think that it all started with him, with this idea that he had for a super low budget movie. You got Cary Elwes and Danny Glover to show up. Next thing you know, super in demand. They also made, what, 7 more of those stupid movies?
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about,
something like that.
I was talking about
how it was. The concept at the outset was super fresh and it was cool.
Yeah, but by the time they got around to like the 3rd or 4th one, it's like, oh,
again, they lost me.
Get it.
I was talking.
Halloween 2 was really terrifying. But for some reason, like, and when Rob Zombie remade these movies, and I'm usually so mean about remakes.
Yeah.
I was not
especially
mean about
classic.
This. I felt like he changed it enough, but I felt like his love for it.
Does
that make sense?
He obviously loves those movies.
And you couldn't carry one of those, you know, where the hell is everyone in the hospital movies again. It worked for Halloween 2, the original, but it wasn't going to work this time, and he knew it.
And he kind of made
he built that homage to that great, great movie into it, and I just felt his love for that franchise.
Because he knew what he was doing. It's like sometimes you see a movie that's a sequel or a remake, and you wonder, does the filmmaker even know about the original? Do they even care about what came before?
Oh, I felt like he ate it and breathed it and loved it.
And also the thing with Rob Zombie too, I think even if people don't necessarily like his movies, he can't help but respect them because he goes all out for his movies and he has a particular vision, particular thing he wants to do that other people really aren't doing. Mm. He makes really harsh movies and you know, House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Reject, stuff like that. I find him very, very interesting as a filmmaker. Don't necessarily like his movies, but I will see them because... Man, like the love is there, it's palpable, and he's got some pretty original ideas that some work, some don't, but at least he does it.
Well, I mean, he had it all over the Clash of the Titans remake with his Halloween remake.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
All over.
That Clash, and especially that movie too at the time was held up as a poster child for terrible 3D because it was one of the very first big budget post-conversion 3D jobs, and it was just, so bad. And, that was the first wide release 3D movie to come out after Avatar.
Okay.
So people were like, oh, another 3D movie. And it was Clash of Titans. It was terrible. And James Cameron was so pissed. He's like, you people are going to ruin 3D. And they did.
Usually I don't go for the 3D.
Neither do I.
I was going
to
say,
the Fright Night remake in 3D.
Did they do it? Was Fright Night in 3D?
They did it. I only went to see it in 3D because that was the time I could go.
Sure.
And that was the 3D time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. Really? I thought they did a good job with that remake, too.
See, that's
a lot of good things about Colin Farrell in that movie.
That's my thing. I hate it so much
that
the 3D.
Yeah, 3D.
That if I, no matter how much I want to see a movie,
mm-hmm.
if it's in 3D and they don't have a non-3D version, because a lot of times they do, especially if it's like the biggest one.
Every now and then, though, you will find a very limited 2D showing.
Oh yeah,
but a whole day is worth of 3D.
Oh show. Yeah, it's always
I've
less.
I've seen that. Yeah,
I'm not gonna go.
For many movies, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I would rather just not
3D's
not
bullshit.
Even bother with 3D. I feel like what they're doing is they're making a movie that personally looks fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And then you want to see this movie? Oh, and then you got to pay an extra $3 for these glasses that'll magically make them work for you. Yeah. Now you can see what. And then also the lenses are gray, the digital.
Yep.
So now you're watching a movie that now you're watching it through sunglasses. Now the picture's darker. It's not as nice looking.
Yeah.
It just seems bad all around.
When I was a kid and the third Friday the 13th came out.
Oh, infamous.
They had all these great, just useless, made no sense. But they just wanted to use the effects.
The gimmicks, yeah. You know? Uh-huh. Things coming at them. Ooh,
like,
the
you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Jaws 3D did the same thing where they blow up the shark at the end and the jawbone's like floating towards the camera. It's so stupid.
See, you're so radio. I'm just sticking my hand out like people can see what the hell I'm doing. What a schmuck.
We're going to get a video component here one day. Periscope or Meerkat or something and then people can see our pretty
get
faces.
Get some good filters. Oh, and then I'll show up.
Yeah, filter the hell out of it. Okay, well, all good Halloween choice. I think people have plenty of options for this week.
Yeah.
And for even when it's not Halloween, you just want to watch a scary movie.
Which is always for me.
Yeah,
I like them.
They're fun. Too. They can be very fun. Speaking of scary movies, we have on our show a horror film expert and aficionado in Billy D. He's our New York City senior correspondent up there in Brooklyn.
Representing,
and he hits us up every week with his segment, Billy D's Death at the Movies, and we have an intro song for that, so here we go. Wrong button. Here we go. All right, here we go. Billy D writes in a very long email, so get comfortable. What is up, my dudes and guest?
All right.
What a nice guy. What a nice guy.
Hey, Billy.
This week, I noticed that something was not right. I was halfway through October, and I had not seen nearly enough horror films. I felt that I needed a doubleheader so bizarre that my girlfriend might question our entire relationship. Good thing she's game for this kind of thing. A long-standing moratorium on physical media in Fort Austin was lifted so that Etchy's phone could ring. How's it going, Etchy?
Forgot to turn that off.
So that Billy D could self-flagellate at the altar of Bizarro Cinema. I spent the better part of the week calling dead ends for copies of the films I wanted until I hit pay dirt. Copies of Possession and The Entity were secured, promptly digitized, and shelved. Have any of you guys heard of either of these movies, Possession or The Entity?
I feel like I have, but...
They're those types of titles, though. You know what I mean? Like, you could...
The low-budget 80s horror stuff.
Yeah. The Entity.
Well, but also, like...
It sounds familiar.
It sounds like it could have been 20 movies. Like, you know, is what I'm getting at.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... have you heard the song Creep? Well, yeah, I've heard many songs called Creep.
Yeah.
It's that type of title. Okay, here we go. Well, he explains. Possession, a.k.a. The Night the Screaming Stops. That's an awesome alternate title. It's a 1981 Andrei Zilowski. Zilowski? Oh boy. Andrei Zilowski. Zulawski.
Darn you people with your.
Google it. 1981 film starring Sam Neill and Isabel Adjani. This film plays with the ideas and definitions of possession rather than be a straightforward movie about demonic possession. Neo plays the distant husband who finally realizes his wife isn't happy, but what infidelity she's hiding could destroy both of their lives and sanity. This is not a typical horror film. This is an art house film about the destructive forces of relationships wearing a costume for Halloween. It's disturbing and difficult and very, very uncomfortable. So basically, perfect late 70s German cinema. So that's The Possession.
That sounds fun.
Sam Neill is pretty fantastic. It's funny. Because I was just of the age where I didn't watch that many horror films growing up. But I did see in theaters Jurassic Park. That was my introduction to Sam Neill. And then I find out that Sam Neill is actually more well known for doing horror films. And he's kind of like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the 80s, he did a ton of horror films, including John Carpenter movie. the one where Sutter Kane, he's looking for a writer that's gone crazy, or everyone who reads this guy's books go crazy. The Prince in the Darkness? Isn't it? No, At the Mouth of Madness. In the Mouth of Madness. You haven't seen that one?
I want to see that.
It's good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, there's a writer called Sutter Kane, and he's kind of like a Stephen King sort of stand-in. And he's gone.
Sutter Kane.
Yeah, and he's gone
That's
missing.
So obvious now.
Yeah, it's a crazy name, right? And Sutter Kane, Stephen King, and he goes to this small town looking for the writer who's missing. I guess he's like with the publishing company or as an editor. And people who are reading his books are going crazy. So right in the beginning, he's in like a restaurant or in a diner talking to some dude, talking about the author. And then in the background, through the plate glass window, there's a guy with like a trench coat. And he's looking crazy. And he walks up to the window and he pulls out an axe. And he smashes the window. And then he goes like, have you read any Sutter Kane lately? And then he starts like swinging the axe at people and stuff. And you got to figure out what's going on. It's a wild movie. A lot of fun.
That
I really enjoyed
fun.
It. Sam Neill, he's great. Billy Dee continues. Next is The Entity. What, you got something
to say? Sam Neill was up for James Bond for GoldenEye.
Really?
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting choice.
And Living Daylights in 1987.
Instead of Dalton. So they consider him twice and passed over him twice.
Yeah.
The once almost would be. So in the universe where he's James Bond is the same universe where Tom Selleck is Indiana Jones.
Wow.
And Eric Stoltz is Marty McFly.
Mind blown.
Yeah. There's an altered dimension where all those things are happening. That's probably the same dimension in which Sam Rockwell is the biggest movie star in the world, as he should be.
Sam Rockwell's the shit.
He's the best, isn't he? Him and Elizabeth Banks, they should be the biggest stars in the world, hands down. Anyway, here we go. Next is The Entity from 1982, starring Barbara Hershey. Finally, the answer to the question, why is Barbara Hershey in all the Insidious movies? That's funny. Released in 1982 and promptly destroyed at the box office by Poltergeist and The Thing, The Entity was mostly written off as a gimmicky piece of exploitation. Not on my watch. This movie is great. Billy's very emphatic about that. It's so scary, and it's adult as shit. It's about ghost rape, if you didn't know. So prepare yourself for that. It's not nearly as funny as you were thinking. This ghost sucks. Worst ghost ever, in a good way. I recommend seeking these out however you can get this Halloween season. These are gems that don't get nearly the love they deserve this time of year. Stay cool, Billy Dee. So those are Billy Dee's Halloween movies.
Those are fun.
It's crazy.
Now I'm like going, he's making me dig through my, you know, my... card catalog. I'm thinking about Life Force. I'm thinking about cat people.
Yeah, the mental Rolodex of 80s, crazy 80s movies.
Yeah.
They cranked them out, too, it feels like, back then.
Life Force is a good one.
Life Force is a weird one. Isn't that Quaid, right? That's the Quaid one?
Life Force is like vampire zombies from space.
Yeah.
Basically.
So weird.
But it's good. So except that it's good.
You love the 80s. Ever see Street Trash?
No.
Street Trash is one where homeless people in New York City, it's from the early 80s, they start drinking some sort of booze that's being circulated among them. I'm pretty sure it's alcohol because they're all a bunch of winos and stuff. Yeah. But when they drink it, it melts them from the inside and they turn into like puddle. It almost looks like paint is coming out of them, like different colored paint, and they're melting, and it's a really gross, sticky movie. You know, one of those things. Very, very creepy. Street Trash. Good stuff.
I don't even know if you could, like, so many people would pick at that.
Yeah. Oh, to pick it now?
Leprechaun was on last night.
With Jennifer Aniston?
With Jennifer Aniston.
Classic. I gotta say, though, my favorite still gotta be Leprechaun 4. Leprechaun's in the Hood with Ice-T. Oh, my God. And he smokes a joint with Ice-T. And he's like, awesome. This is some wonderful weed or something like that. It's so stupid. And then he bites off his finger. I don't know. It's a dumb movie. Coolio shows up in Leprechaun 4. Literally, he like walks into the scene, like by the doorway. He walks in the scene and he looks into a room. And there's a guy behind him. And he's like, huh. And then he walks off. You never see him again. It's the craziest thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the type of thing where if you're not paying attention, you will miss it. And if you are paying attention, you'll be like, what? What's that?
That was the best ever.
Was that Coolio? That's the type of reaction you'll have. It's so weird. It's almost like in The Last Fast and Furious when Iggy Azalea pops up for one line of dialogue. There's a scene where they're racing in the desert. Michelle Rodriguez races in the desert. She wins her race. She gets out of the car. Everyone's like, oh, you're awesome. big elaborate shot of Iggy Azalea coming out of an SUV, like, who's this character? Yeah. And she's just like, essentially just says, hey, you did really good. Hey, you did a good job. And then her voice, for some reason, makes Michelle Rodriguez go crazy. It's her, she hears her voice over and over in her head, and then she like punches the nearest guy and goes running away. You never see Iggy Azalea again. So weird. I don't know why they do it. Isn't that strange?
That actually makes that movie sound interesting. Like, yeah. Like there was something already going on that we're not aware of.
The Fast and Furious movies are, the 5, 6, and 7 are fascinating because they stop giving a fuck about physics and logic, and it is, those movies are insane. Absolutely insane.
I noticed a shift where usually when somebody mentioned those movies, like in the beginning with the first three maybe.
Yeah.
Derision.
No one liked them.
It was all just a joke. Yes. Just trashing the shit out of them.
Because the first movie was just a bad remake of Point Break.
Yeah. And then,
which they're remaking.
Which is getting an actual remake.
This was so funny. Yesterday I'm sitting in the theater. The trailer's running. I didn't see the beginning. Yeah. And I'm kind of listening to what they're hyping.
Yeah.
And my friend's sitting next to me, and she's from the UK, never saw Point Break. Okay. And I go, you know, what the hell? I'm like, this is Point Break. This is like a straight ripoff of Point Break. How can they do this?
And then at the end,
I was like, mother
effing. It actually
really?
Is a remake of Point Break.
Yeah. Oh
and then,
gosh,
and then you're
shocking.
Right. The first Fast and Furious, like the first three of them, no one liked them.
And people would laugh.
And some people were like,
some afraid, you know, a lot of people afraid to admit they ever even saw it.
Right.
They got me for one movie.
For the first one?
For the first one, sure.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
They got me for one.
But now, like, it seems to have changed.
It has changed.
Haven't you noticed how, as somebody that hasn't seen them, that, like, somebody would actually say, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to see Fast and Furious, the new Fast and Furious tonight. Nobody would have said that. Like, for the second one.
No, for 1, 2, 3, and 4, well, for 2, 3, and 4, yeah, it did not have the same reaction.
Yeah, you do not admit that shit.
But for some reason, five, even though it's still a dumb, dumb movie, it's so dumb, but it's made in such a fun, over-the-top way that even, you know, the supposedly stodgy film critics were like, this is a good, entertaining movie.
Yeah.
I think it was
Machete.
Machete didn't even get as good reviews as Fast Five.
I think
it was the fact that it's actually critically liked now, the series. 5, 6, and 7 actually got good reviews, and now people feel comfortable being like, oh yeah, I like those movies too. It's not like everyone considers them stupid, but I like them. Yeah, we all think they're stupid, but they're also a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very I'm looking forward to the 8th one. Hell, Kurt Russell was in the 7th one. He was great. Hmm. And with his, as per usual, fantastic head of hair, Kurt Russell. I don't know how he does it, that guy. And have you seen his mustache for Hateful Eight?
No.
Oh, I just saw a trailer for that.
Yeah, and his mustache is like, what? Kurt Russell, you can grow that? You crazy,
Sam
man.
Sam Elliott.
He's,
that's the king of mustache.
Yeah, he's rocking. Yeah. He's rocking like an Uber Sam Elliott.
Yeah, that's
in
the king
Hateful Eight.
Of mustache.
To
right
the
there.
To the point where when he didn't have a mustache in the that Hulk movie, the first one with Eric Bana,
I probably
or
didn't
the second
even
one.
Notice you. I didn't see that movie.
You didn't see that one with Eric Bana, the very first one,
no.
The Ang Lee
I did.
One.
It was dumb.
No.
He's General didn't Thunderbolt Ross, and he has no mustache, and he's so weird. He's so weird. Same thing with Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck did Eisenhower. Shaved his mustache.
Well, didn't he do the baby movies with no mustache?
No, he had a mustache.
He did have a mustache.
Yeah, Three Men and a Baby and Three Men and a Little Lady. Yeah, him and Steve Guttenberg
when
and the third guy.
No, maybe it was another movie.
Ted Danson.
It was another movie.
Only one I can think of is when he did Eisenhower for TV.
No, I there was definitely one.
There's another one?
And I think he was gay. I think his character was gay.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right?
And
he had no mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was no good. He has to have a mustache. Queenie Down Under. That's the only way we'll accept our Tom Selleck. Mr. Baseball with a mustache.
Magnum. That's it.
Yes, exactly.
Short shorts.
Precisely. Hawaiian short
Tom
shorts.
Tom Selleck for me. Magnum.
Yeah, hey, that's what ruined Indiana Jones for him. He couldn't get out of that Magnum contract, so he couldn't do Indiana Jones. He was this close. That close to being indie. Tanya would have been slightly different. We would have had a mustache showed Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been something. Well, thank you, Billy D. We appreciate that. Time for the Vox Populi. This is a segment of the people. Here's that quick Vox Populi intro. We're all full of chock full of intros over here.
The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
You can email us, cinemacrespedito@gmail.com. Ron hit us up. Email. Etchy, you got that email over there?
Yes, and I love that it's Ron, because I know Ron.
Ron's a great guy.
Yeah.
All right, what did Ron have for us?
Okay, do you consider music videos to be little movies?
Huh.
They're, let's see, many directors have started on MTV and VH1 to cut their teeth in directing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a top three music video? Or top three music videos that has impacted your way of seeing a story being told in a short period of time?
Okay, so yeah, music videos definitely considered short films. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, you're all the times you are telling a story visually.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I mean, David Fincher famously started with music videos. Michael Bay started music videos.
Michelle Gondry.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people have come from that world from the 80s and 90s. Mark Romanek, Spike Jones. Yeah. Jonas Ackerland. So absolutely, it is a great training ground for feature-length films.
Yes.
It's funny, though. These days, music videos don't have as much sway. No. Don't make as much pop.
They don't make them.
Because they don't make them, right? There's no place to show them.
No.
Well, they do. They're on YouTube, but I mean...
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same, but I'm just saying they're not being made.
Right, but the emphasis is less.
Oh, definitely.
But a couple months ago, I remember there was a huge music video debut that had people talking for a couple of days, and that was that Rihanna music video. Did you guys ever see that one?
No.
She put out a 7-minute video for a song, Bitch Better Have My Money, which is, the song is about...
Sounds like a good 70s movie.
Yeah, right? and actually, it's a pretty damn good video. It got a lot of people talking. The song in the video is based on how one of her accountants, like her main accountant, mm-hmm. did the typical show business thing of ripping her off without her knowing. So in the span of a year, she went from having a few million dollars to being in debt. And she had to climb her way out of that, which I think she has done since then. So she wrote a song about that, Bitch Better Have My Money. It's about the account. And the music video is this whole long, elaborate thing about how she and some friends, they kidnap this woman, and they go Chris Brown on her, and they're torturing her, and they're dragging her from place to place, and it is, like, really messed up. And then at the end, it turns out this girl is, like, the wife or girlfriend of the accountant, and then they tie the accountant up in the chair, and they show, like, Rihanna's gonna do something to this dude, but they don't actually show it. The accountant's actually played by Mads Mikkelsen from Hannibal, the TV show, and it's a really good, like, well-done video. People really liked it, but it's been a while since a video has come out that people have been like, oh man, have you seen this? That type of thing.
Yeah. Eminem came out with one not long ago. And the song, well, I don't know. There's so much going on in the video. I don't really, but I mean, like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the song's like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's got John Malkovich in it.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and.
Oh, I think I remember that. Yeah.
It's really interesting. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, it'll keep you engaged the entire time.
Yeah.
You know?
A good video will do that. Even if you don't like the song too much, you just watch
it. Doesn't
it.
Matter.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think you can take an entire style of a film of a music video, and just literally steal that and make an entire film out of that style.
Like a Dead Presidents.
Because
that was kind of like a long form music video. Like,
yeah.
Type Williams.
So. Well, I just mean like say you were making a horror movie,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that took place in a house or a basement or you know something like that.
Uh huh.
Let's say you were making Saw. Look at Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
That music video, you could totally take just the look and feel of that entire video.
And translate that?
Yes. And I would say Nine Inch Nails, Tool, if you remember the those Tool early videos. Tool videos.
Yeah, those
were
like creepy. The stop motion animation stuff.
All that stuff. And it looks so...
And all that stuff was done by their guitarist. Adam Jones, who actually then around the same time, they got him to design a lot of the Buffalo animatronics for Dances with Wolves.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the guy from Tool worked on the Kevin Costner movie. Has some strange crossover right there. The Tool videos are... Man, those are creepy. Good
yeah, they
too.
Were good.
Haven't done one of those in a while, man. You can use a good new Tool video.
Spike Jones and the Beastie Boys. That's the pinnacle for me.
Oh,
Sabotage.
Beastie Boys,
yes.
Sabotage.
Sabotage is the greatest, and I'll say it, that's the greatest music video of all time.
It's so good that they've even talked about trying to make it into a TV show.
Then I'll go behind that, I'll go with Thriller.
I have, by the,
yeah,
by the way, I have
Hell
a...
yeah, Thriller, directed by John Landis.
Yes.
Yeah. I have the music video, I have that video where... they released all of the camera footage from each individual camera,
right?
So that on those parts where they're like jumping over stuff and running down streets and everything like that, but
yeah.
I mean, you know, it keeps going to different stuff.
Yeah,
you can use your remote and switch
to watch a different camera
to watch
angle?
Whatever's going on at the same time, all angles
of
the entire time
of MCA dressed in a crazy 70s mustache and wig.
You can keep it on him the whole time if you want.
That's cool. That's really cool. I like that.
I especially like that because a lot of times if you know that that's what you're, oh, okay, I want you to jump over, just start running and maybe like slide across the car. You're like, okay, they were doing something on the camera angle the entire song.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't just like, okay, I did it. What do I do now? you know, oh God, so good.
That is great. Right? That's a great video.
Yeah,
actually, that is one of my favorites. There's a Beastie Boys video anthology out there that's worth checking out because all their videos are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got to be the best one of theirs and probably one of the best ones ever because, like I said, they tried to make that into a TV show.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
And a lot of times, if there's, you know, even if there's not a plot, the idea is that, and sometimes this can be actually even more complex than a plot, mm-hmm. is you're given a look that gives you a feeling.
Yeah.
An atmosphere.
The arty side of it.
Smashing Pumpkins are very good at that.
Sure. Yeah, they've had some good videos. Absolutely. Yeah. Man, music videos. They need to... There is a channel that just started that they're trying to do. They have several hour long blocks where they're just playing music videos.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of the channel off the top of my head. Like, I just saw
it
for the first time a
couple
weeks ago.
I think rap videos kind of killed it, too.
Because there's so many of them?
No, because they're so stupid.
Well, a lot of videos are stupid no matter what.
Well, actually, no. No.
Hell, one of the best videos is the California Love Tupac, where they
a fun video.
I was gonna say, well, yeah, I mean, of course there's that, you know, but I mean, like, yeah, there was a time towards the end video. Where you turn on MTV and
it was nothing but
it's
hip-hop
dudes
videos.
Throwing money and shit.
Yeah, that's
true. You know what I mean? Like that
was like post my. I mean, I was 13 mm-hmm. when MTV. Came out.
Kill the Radio Star.
I was too young. Mom might be listening. I was too young to be going anywhere good. So I was home, you know, literally with like a cassette deck up to the, you know, mono speaker on my giant piece of furniture TV.
That's how you had to record things, yeah.
You know, I remember it was perched up on like a crayon box. I had a whole system.
That's awesome.
To get good audio.
Very nice.
And we just used to watch videos and play Atari.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's what we did.
That's awesome.
That's living life
right
there.
It was a good childhood. I have no complaints.
Sounds good to me.
It sounds like what people do now, pretty much.
It's true. Now you listen to Spotify and play Xbox One. But
exactly.
It's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Completely.
Number two.
No, just now. It wasn't you.
It was me.
It was me. Like, I heard myself talk. I went, what?
That happened us when we were recording for the tidbits the other night, too.
Yes.
I was like, I was in the middle of explaining something, blah, blah, making a great point. And then I was like, and then, I forget.
Yeah. Which was great.
Worse, by the way. I'm warning you both. That gets worse.
Yeah. Let me keep drinking and see how that works.
I was going to say, the music videos, they seem to, like, they did this thing where, you know, they're on MTV, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then MTV starts getting TV shows,
yeah.
you know, and they're like, well,
the TV shows
fuck this
are doing
song
better.
Shit, yeah. you know? So they're like, MTV 2, put them on MTV 2. Now MTV 2 is starting to get, and they're like,
we need MTV 3.
They just keep adding channels.
Yeah. Yeah, and then replacing the music with TV shows.
Which is a testament to how much people love it. I mean, if you're willing to continually start up new channels just to offer this.
That's true.
Someone's watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, ridiculousness and stuff like that. Stupid kids, that's who's watching. Okay, hitting us up on Facebook with a question. This is from Ricardo Perez. Did Sphere seem incoherent or too fast-paced story? Or a too fast-paced story? You guys, did you ever see Sphere?
I did see Sphere.
Back in the day. I remember seeing it.
Also read the book.
In the 90s when it came out. I read the book as well. But again, almost...
The book was so much better.
Almost 20 years ago.
When you say Sphere, I was like, you mean Phantasm?
Oh, Phantasm is so good. Wrong Spheres.
Tell me about Sphere.
Wrong Sphere. Sphere with Dustin Hoffman, Samuel Jackson, Sharon Stone.
Ooh.
They find
Why didn't I see that?
It had a lot of hype. It's Michael Crichton book.
I was going to say, it was based on a Michael Crichton book,
yeah,
too.
And it came out like two movies after Jurassic Park. So it was Jurassic Park and then Congo, then I think Sphere.
Oh, I think maybe that's why I didn't see it, because I saw Congo and was like...
I loved Congo!
Congo is such shit.
You know what? You know what?
I would rather watch Mighty Joe Young for 13 straight years than watch Congo again.
Congo's bad. You can like it all you want. It's just bad.
I know the I know the dialogue from Congo.
Like, Amy, ugly monkey or ugly gorilla. Yeah. Amy, so stupid, so stupid.
You know, people forget David Campbell was.
Or not Bruce, Campbell.
God, what's
wrong with you today? I love Bruce Campbell.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he's the one in the beginning.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. Sphere. I'm bringing you back.
Well, Sphere is Dustin Hoffman, Samuel Jackson. They find a... Where did they find the sphere? Did they find it in a boat somewhere?
God, this was so years ago.
I know. They found underwater a big sphere that's like a 15, 16 foot tall ball.
Yeah.
And sometimes it becomes translucent, and they can go into the sphere. And when they come out, it's like alien technology has got into their brain, and the things that they think of start happening for real.
I feel like I may have seen little bits and pieces.
You may have. You may have seen the whole thing and then just forgot about it because it's not a very good movie. It's not good, and it is a hack.
Amazing book.
It is a hack thing to say, but the book is better. But it's not.
The book's almost always better. Yeah, it's different and deeper. Is, and
the reason to like the books get turned into movies is because the book is good to begin with. But then you might make a bad movie out of it. So then sure, the book already has a leg up because it's good. That's why you approach material.
There are
to begin
plenty
with.
Of instances though where
there are different mediums
where the movies are way better.
But they're also different things. You're getting different things out of books versus movies. You know,
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic
movie
Park.
Was way better than the book.
I don't know, man. I mean, the book's so great. And you could even...
The movie, I'll say, holds up.
Yeah,
the movie.
Yeah, it does. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's awesome. And I remember seeing that in the theater and just being like, wow.
Yeah.
You know what the best
look
part
at those
is?
Dinosaurs.
Blown away.
And I still think that.
They watch like, number two.
A lot of
it doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
The second one stinks.
Oh, the rest of the movies are so awful.
Yeah,
for sure. But I know, I would say Sphere... Was it too incoherent or fast-paced? Neither. It's just like poorly written, poorly adapted is what I would say. Because there is a good story there. It could be made into a good movie, but it's not.
No.
It's a bummer. All right, well, that's what we have for the Vox Populi. Let me see. There wasn't that much for movie news this week, actually. Kind of a very slow week, at least for me personally. They did announce who the next host is for the Oscars. And it's going to be Chris Rock again. Yeah, which is very cool. He hosted back in 2005. He's a funny guy. He knows what he's doing. I think it'll work. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Oscars or award shows anyway, but because of all this, the show and what I do, I feel like I gotta stay on top
of it. I'm a curmudgeon. I haven't watched the Oscars since Burt Reynolds lost for Boogie Nights. They can all go screw themselves.
Good for you. That's because because Burt didn't play the game. That's why. It's all about them politics. And then keeping with horror films, I'll just throw this out there real quick, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. I'm sad. This was fun.
It doesn't it? Well, I have to have you back on for sure. They're doing another reboot of Friday the 13th. So, like, the Friday the 13th that came out a few years ago is essentially a remake of the first two movies combined into one movie. And they're started all over again because that one didn't make enough money. But now it's getting pushed. It was originally supposed to come out May 2016. So Friday the 13th was going to come out in May, which is crazy because that's summer blockbuster territory.
I thought you were going to say pushed into the garbage can.
Well, it essentially did get pushed into the garbage can.
Oh, yes!
Because it went from May 2016 to January 2017. So it went from summer movie season, we expect people to be going to see this, to the doldrums, the dump month of January, the middle of January.
It was too far along for them to get out of actually releasing it?
Yeah, like, it was like, well, we already started making the movie. We can't not make it now. So let's just put it in a very uncompetitive time during the box office. Make our $10, $15 million and call it a day. Yeah. Hopefully you'll make money international. That's what they're thinking.
Terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Oh, so yeah, to keep doing it. And actually, it will be the 13th Friday the 13th movie.
Who cares?
Someone,
see the original, folks.
Someone cares with Kevin Bacon. Someone cares because they're making it. And then also, another movie that just had its release date change is a brand new Rings movie. The Ring. A new sequel to The Ring, but it's being called Rings. And that one is going to come out... first it was supposed to come out in March of 2015.
Did they do it in Japan already? Or is this just a new...
It's probably going to be another, like, set in America one. And I don't think it's a remake of an existing Ring
so
sequel.
So this isn't adapted as the...
It may be an original Ring sequel. And it was supposed to have come out already in March of this year. And then it got pushed to November of this year. Now it's not coming out until... Oh, you know what? That's Friday the 13th. Rings is coming out April 2016. April 1st, 2016. So April Fool's next year, guys. We're getting a new Rings movie. Hope you don't seem very excited about the new Rings movie. I like the first one.
The Grudge scared me.
It was okay.
The Grudge was okay. I think
too
I liked...
Too much hype. I had too high...
Oh, for the Ring?
Yeah, for all of them. I had high expectations going in because I get excited when...
Sure.
Something's new.
Yeah, something new and popular. New popular horror film.
Yeah, and like original.
Yeah.
And
it creeped me out.
It was creepy. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it was awful, but I didn't love that as much as a lot of people did.
Expectations were too high for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, I get that. That happens all the time, for sure. Well, we'll see. We'll
I'm
find
such
out.
A grump.
We'll find out by April.
I'm an old grump.
Hey, we've had far, far grumpier on the show. Hell, Drew Sikagmer's on here. He's a certified grouch, if you ask me.
If anything, I just want a horror movie like that's good, that doesn't have any shots of or any use of like creepy children. It's so I'm tired. Yeah. I'm so tired.
Well, that the Ring's probably because the main character, the Sam Sarah character, is a girl, the ghost girl that keeps
yes.
popping up.
Creepy. She's at least very creepy.
When she comes out of the TV, I remember.
Oh yeah, that was creepy.
I was in a packed theater for The Ring, and I remember when she comes out of the TV. Obviously, in a theater full of people who had not seen Ringu, and it was a younger audience too. The fright. That emanated in that room, the big theater pack. Everyone was scared when it started coming out of the theater. I was like, that's funny.
It is fun when that happens.
I enjoy it. That happened a couple times in Crimson Peak. Some of the more violent moments. I love how that movie got so intensely violent at times that people in the theater were shocked by it. And you could hear the, you know, and it just made me laugh. these people, their day was just warped by this movie. I love that.
My shocking moment was when I don't want to spoil anything.
Well,
you can be
honest.
Well, there was a point where
don't say specific characters.
There was a point where I feel like there was some medical knowledge that needed to be, and they were like, "Well, clearly he's hit his head."
Oh what? Yeah,
like what?
Yeah, you can tell that something horrible happened to someone. Like natural causes.
Yeah, and I was like that was literally the moment where I my foot slipped over into cynicism.
Okay,
they had me. I wanted to be with them so badly, and that was the moment where I was like, and the guy who's
the doctor.
Well, there's two, but one of them is like I don't think that, and you know, and
one
like,
of them wanted to investigate, like this doesn't seem natural, and then they're like, no, leave the body alone. What's wrong with you? Like, fine, we won't investigate. We'll just write natural causes on death certificate.
And that was where it started to go south for me.
Okay, yeah, sure. Hey, fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. I can see why that could take someone out of the story for sure. Okay, end of the episode time. That means this is when we do the lightning round. So hope you're ready for that. And you know, I can't have a second without
redemption.
An intro. So here we go. Intro time.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, here we go. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. We're going to get inside your mind, Amy. You ready for this?
It's dark in there.
Those are the most fun places to root around with a flashlight. Etchy, please start the clock.
Oh, there's a clock?
Yeah, start it.
All right, hold on a sec.
No, you don't have that. You just say go.
Starting clock, go.
I guess we didn't talk about that ahead of time. No. Number one, Universal Studios, Disney World, SeaWorld, rank them.
Oh, that's, you're bumping into my wheelhouse there. What was it? Universal,
Disney, and SeaWorld, rank them.
Probably that order.
Universal, Disney, SeaWorld, okay,
probably.
Sure. All right, number two, Kevin Bacon or Canadian Bacon?
Oh, Kevin Bacon.
Number three, what is the last song you listened to?
Oh my gosh. Last night I was listening to 80s music. I can't remember.
So something 80s?
Yeah, it was definitely 80s.
Well, we can accept 80s.
Yeah, 80s okay. music.
Number four, what website do you go to every day?
Oh, God. USAtoday's10best.com.
There you go.
Orlando section.
Beautiful. Number five, what is the longest book you've ever read?
Oh my God, Infinite Book, maybe. Infinite Jest, I'm making a joke.
Oh, Infinite Jest?
Infinite Jest is a pretty big book.
I haven't been able to get past page 100.
The longest book
one.
I have, that's a pretty long one. I don't know.
Infinite Jest is over 1,000 pages.
Yeah, but I've read all the Game of Thrones books. Those are all pretty long.
They are. They're like 500-600.
I've read The Stand. That was pretty long back in the day.
That was over 1,000.
That's about 1,000.
Okay, so there's three really long books that I can remember reading.
It. Have you read It?
I read It.
That was 1,000. Yeah. All right, there you go. 1,000's a number. If you get to 1,000 pages, like, you better be having something to say over here.
Yeah, I did Tom Wolfe, A Man in Full. Was that?
Was it? There you go. Number 6. Do you have a lucky number?
8.
Number 7. Have you ever tie-dyed your own clothes?
Yes. So much.
Actually, that's number 7. Number 8. Can you solve Sudoku puzzles?
Oh, no. Definitely not.
No. Number 9. What is your favorite TV commercial?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I don't know. I don't know. Crap, I'm so boring. I don't know.
No favorite TV commercial?
Old ones?
Doesn't
I don't know.
Favorite TV commercial?
I can't think of any.
It's a weird question.
Yeah, that is a weird question.
It's a strange question. And number 10, rock, paper, scissors. Which do you choose?
Scissors, I'll stab you.
That is correct. That answer is correct. Good job. Thank you very much. Brings us to the very end of the show, which means it's swag bag time.
Yay.
We got two bags right here.
No, wrong one.
We got them right here. We got the white bag with the polka dots and the brown bag. Which one would you like?
So many decisions
here at the end.
I'll take, because the other one is a little more masculine.
You want the white bag
I'll
with the flowers?
I'll take the white bag.
Steve, can you
do me a
favor?
Oh, wait, the other one has flowers too.
Well, you both have flowers. Steve, can you break open the bag one item at a time and let us know?
All right.
Oh, see, I thought one was for him.
He's going to let us know what we got going on in here.
We have a... Whoa! Stickers everywhere.
Oh, yeah, there are a bunch of stickers.
And it got in the book.
Okay. Oh, you have to be kidding me with that.
There is a Bible word search.
Bible word search, all right.
Large print edition. That's insulting.
Also a Cospedito edition as well. Yeah.
Okay. And we have a treasure hunt DVD, Superman Returns.
Superman Returns on DVD.
Very nice.
It's only the second worst. No, maybe the third worst Superman movie.
A bunny slingshot.
Bunny slingshot.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Left over from Easter.
I can make use of that.
A Transformers.
It's a figure. It's a random toy.
Oh, okay.
That you have to open up to find out what it is inside.
Very exciting.
I would have just been disappointed because I thought they were gummy bears. I was like, oh!
And I've given out food on the show.
The stickers, like the
skin glitter tattoos.
Okay, I was gonna say they're like
they're stickers for your body.
They're kind of decalish.
Those are fun.
Body stickers.
A plush cake and donut, which is awesome because I just remembered.
Donuts. And I brought those today.
And you brought donuts.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I totally forgot about that. Okay. And we have a burned...
Bootleg edition
of the Pelican Brief.
Major Tom. That was the last song I listened to.
Major Tom.
By Peter Schilling. That was the last song I listened to.
There you go.
It's a good one.
Gotcha. It came at the last second.
And we got, of course, a bunch of stickers and a burned A Few Good Men.
Few Good Men.
Ah, very nice.
Love that movie.
Got three movies in there.
That's exciting.
A lot of stuff in that bag.
I think...
Bottomless bag.
And an Orlando City
magnet.
Very cool.
There we go. So, Amy, you can take that swag bag home. It's all yours. Total value of about $8.50.
This is like the Oscars.
It is. And it includes the value of the bag. Or
yes. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, it's like the Price is Right.
This is like the Price is Right. Or make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
We can put the bag away, take it away, and you can take... What's in the box that we have right here?
I don't know. I really had my eye on that large print Bible word search.
And all the stickers and the movies.
What's
and
in the box?
What's in the box?
I don't know. You know what? I'm too much a 70s child. I'm going to go for what's in the
We're
box,
going for
Monty.
What's in the box. Yeah! All right, here we go. Etchy, please hold it.
What's in the box?
Amy, grab that top and lift it straight up, and we'll find out what's inside the box. Don't worry, there's not an animal in there. Go ahead and reach inside. What we got?
Like Charlie Brown? What is this? I have dogs.
You have dogs?
Perfect. Yes, it's a squeaky vinyl dog toy. Very realistic.
There you go.
It's radio, so
you know. Yeah, it's got a mixed sound and everything.
This is awesome. And this will get used.
And you have a dog?
I have three.
Perfect. They can fight over it.
Awesome.
I'll put this bag away. We'll also make sure you go home with some stickers as well. I'll give you a whole bunch of stickers.
I would have come in a costume if I had known this.
Hey, next time we'll do a costume show. Again, not a video podcast. So it'll just be for our pleasure only.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much.
This was so super fun. I hope I didn't embarrass myself, friends, family, whoever's listening.
I think you did a wonderful job.
I even keep this with me. This is the moose that I won.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He went in the box. He went with the box and he got a moose.
That's yep. really cool.
Yeah.
Who doesn't always want a moose?
Exactly.
Especially one that can look over you while you work.
It's my assistant editor, Moose.
Assistant Moose.
Perfect.
We'll have you back on, Amy. We had a lot of fun.
I love that.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Give me an excuse to get out to the movies more often.
Exactly. Steve, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I always have a good time.
Yeah, we appreciate you sitting in for Drew.
It's the best.
It is the best music. I do all that just for an excuse to play the song. That's all. So thank you for downloading, listening. We appreciate it, everyone. Make sure to support R-rated movies, break up the big banks, read more books, and be excellent to each other. We'll be back next week with episode 147 of Cinema Crispy. So we are out of here.